Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted Parejo from the farms of A.J. Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Joe Biden's presidency is over. I'm just going to put it out there right now. His presidency is over. It was ended yesterday when the special counsel, Robert Hur, the person who is investigating Joe Biden's mishandling of classified materials, issued a report essentially suggesting that Joe Biden is non compos mentis, that the dude does not have a functioning brain. He said it in the report. We're going to get to all the details because Joe Biden then proceeded to blow himself up like the challenger. It's the most disastrous press conference in American history. It was a shocking day in politics yesterday. It all began with the usual, which is Joe Biden going out on the stump and making dumb mistakes and seeming as though he's not all there. So yesterday, Joe Biden was giving a speech. In the middle of the speech, he started, again, babbling nonsensically, missing up basic terms. Here he was yesterday.
When I said, when we pushed all these programs, I said I'm going to be a president for everybody, whether you live in a red state or a green state.
Red state or a green state. And this is every single day with Joe Biden. We've been doing this for a couple of years at this point, where every clip you play of Joe Biden, he's screwing something up. And as I've said before, watching a Joe Biden press conference at this point is like watching a Walenda cross a tightrope over a volcano. You're not watching because you're hopeful that he's going to make it. You're watching because you want to be watching if, God forbid, he falls off the tightrope. And yesterday, Joe Biden didn't just fall off the tightrope. He jumped off the tightrope directly into the political volcano. Now, again, all this began with this usual day, this sort of mistake. Karine Jean-Pierre is increasingly being asked to defend the fact that Joe Biden is not all there. Here she was yesterday giving a variety of excuses for why he had screwed up a bunch of different things over the course of the last week or so.
This happens, it happens to all of us, and it is common. But I do want to make sure we don't forget what the overall arching kind of theme, what he is trying to say about our leadership on the global stage.
What do you say then to Americans who have that concern and they see three times in just a couple of days the president getting the name of a leader wrong and referencing somebody who is deceased?
So look, again, as you just stated in your question to me, I just laid out other leaders in their community or elected officials who have done the same. So it is not uncommon.
Look, in meetings with the president, how often does he confuse names like you've seen him do?
I have not seen him do that.
She's lying. He does it all the time. And so the line from the White House has been, sure, he's up there in age, but you screw things up too. You forget where your keys are. You forget where your phone is. That doesn't mean that he can't be president of the United States. And then yesterday, in the middle of the afternoon, the special counsel report on Joe Biden's mishandling of classified documents breaks. And there are two headlines from the report. One of the headlines is that Joe Biden is, quote unquote, exonerated. Now, that headline buries a lot of misuse of classified materials. We're going to go through the whole report. But the big headline is that the real reason that they are not actively going to prosecute Joe Biden for mishandling classified materials is because they believe that he is a senile old man. So let's go through the report in all of its detail. And then we'll get to what, again, is the Hindenburg of presidential press conferences. Oh, the humanity. I mean, Joe Biden set himself almost on literal fire yesterday. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First,
hey, everyone. This is Daily Wire editor-in-chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe. We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So, here is what the special counsel report said. We're going to divide it up into a few parts here so that you get all the details, because this is pretty important. So first, yes, Joe Biden did keep classified documents. Clearly, there were classified materials that were in his possession. But, says the Department of Justice, we're not going to prosecute him. Quote, we conclude no criminal charges are warranted in this matter. We would reach the same conclusion even if Department of Justice policy did not foreclose criminal charges against the sitting president. Our investigation uncovered evidence that President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. These materials included, one, marked classified documents about military and foreign policy in Afghanistan, and two, notebooks containing Mr. Biden's handwritten entries about issues of national security and foreign policy, implicating sensitive intelligence sources and methods. FBI agents recovered these materials from the garage, offices, and basement den in Mr. Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home. However, for the reasons summarized below, we conclude the evidence does not establish Mr. Biden's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, what exactly did Biden have in his possession? Apparently, he had documents from fall 2009 that had classification markings up to top secret, sensitive, compartmented information level. Those were found in a box in Biden's Delaware garage that contained other materials of great personal significance to him and that he appears to have personally used and accessed as well. These materials were mostly proof of a stand that Mr. Biden took that he regarded as very important, which was all about how he was pushing Barack Obama to basically just pull full scale out of Afghanistan, which, of course, Joe Biden then did as president when he became president in the most disastrous fashion in American history. Now, the report continues. And he said, and the special counsel says that Joe Biden certainly knew this was illegal or should have known it was illegal to keep these classified materials. And this report reads a lot like the Hillary Clinton report that eventually exonerated her from James Comey, basically saying she was guilty, but. Okay, so what this report really is he's guilty of mishandling classified materials, but. So, Joe Biden should have known this was illegal. According to the special counsel, Robert Herr, some evidence suggests Mr. Biden knew he could not keep classified handwritten notes at home after leaving office. Biden, who had decades of experience with classified information, was deeply familiar with the measures taken to safeguard classified information and the need for those measures to prevent harm to national security. In fact, twice in 2017, Joe Biden visited the National Archives SCIF to review his classified note cards while writing his book. But he kept his notebooks, which also contained classified information, in unlocked drawers at home. He had strong motivations to do so and to ignore the rules for properly handling the classified information in his notebooks. He consulted those notebooks liberally during hours of discussions with his ghostwriter and viewed them as highly private and valued possessions with which he was unwilling to part. In fact, while reading aloud from his notebook, and this is the most damning part, while reading aloud from his notebook, Mr. Biden listed 4 points he made about the Iraq situation during a July 7, 2015 meeting. Biden explained to his ghostwriter, a person named Mark Zwanitzer, that he had made a similar argument years earlier during the 2009 debate about the troop surge in Afghanistan. Biden told Zwanitzer he had sent Obama a 40-page handwritten memo arguing against the deployment of additional troops in Afghanistan. Mid-sentence during the interview, Biden said in a matter-of-fact tone that he had, quote, just found all the classified stuff downstairs. So, again, first rule of criming, folks, don't do it on tape. Joe Biden did it on tape. He admits full scale on the tape, in his words, that he, quote, just found all the classified stuff downstairs. Okay, which is him admitting that he has classified stuff and it is downstairs. It is no different than Donald Trump bragging to a reporter that he had in front of them a classified set of documents all about Iran, for example. This is the same thing. He says, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs. And that should be open and shut case of violation of criminal law when it comes to classified information and mishandling thereof. And as we see, our political bosses in this country, they get treatment that no one else would receive. When my wife, doctor, was working at Veterans Affairs, if she had walked out of the Veterans Affairs building when she was in residency, with violations of HIPAA material, she could have been prosecuted. Joe Biden is bragging to his ghostwriters that he has classified documents at the highest level in his cabinet downstairs on tape, and they still didn't prosecute him. The special counsel found that there is evidence that after his vice presidency, Biden willfully retained marked classified documents about Afghanistan and unmarked classified handwritten notes in his notebooks, both of which he stored in unsecured places in his house. And it's clearly Biden's material. It's not as though it got mixed in. And we know this because, this is kind of funny, he wrote on one of the folders Afghanistan, but he spelled Afghanistan without the H. Remember, this is Captain Brilliance over here. He can't spell the word Afghanistan, but he knows all about Afghanistan policy. According to the special counsel, Mr. Biden said the handwritten label on the folder looks like his handwriting, and the distinctive misspelling of Afghanistan confirms this. Biden repeatedly used this or a similar misspelling in handwritten notes as vice president. And before that, in notes he took as senator dating back to 1980. So, again, I mean, let's be real about this. Joe Biden was never any intellectual great shakes. The fact that he's been misspelling the word Afghanistan for literally 40 years is kind of amazing. Okay, so the special counsel then finds a series of excuses for why Joe Biden should not be prosecuted. So, number one, the special counsel says, we expect Biden's defense at trial would be he thought that his notebooks were personal property and he was allowed to take them home, even if they contained classified information. During our interview of him, Mr. Biden was emphatic, declaring his notebooks are, quote, my property, and every president before me has done the exact same thing. And now, that sounds a lot like President Trump, frankly. President Trump has been claiming over and over and over that every document in his possession is mine. And that's actually been the real excuse. It's not as though he was going to disseminate documents to the Russians or something. He's like, these are my documents, I'm keeping. I mean, it's exactly what Biden is saying, except Biden is saying, they're my documents, I'm keeping. So that excuse for not prosecuting Biden looks very much like the defense that Donald Trump is going to use in his own classified documents mishandling case. Furthermore, the place where Biden was storing this stuff, not exactly the most secure location, quote, we expect many jurors to be struck by the place where the Afghanistan documents were ultimately found in Biden's Delaware home, in a badly damaged box in the garage near a collapsed dog crate, a dog bed, a Zappos box, an empty bucket, a broken lamp wrapped with duct tape, potting soil, and synthetic firewood. So clearly handling classified materials in the way they should be handled. Now, the special counsel does go out of his way to try to distinguish Biden from Trump, saying, quote, most notably, after being given multiple chances to return classified documents and avoid prosecution, Mr. Trump allegedly did the opposite. According to the indictment, he not only refused to return documents for months, he also obstructed justice by enlisting others to destroy evidence and then to lie about it. In contrast, Biden turned in classified documents to the National Archives, etc. Now, is that dispositive on a difference between Trump and Biden? Not really, because what that really suggests is that Joe Biden was perfectly willing to mishandle classified documents for years on end, and only when he got caught, that is when he turned over all the documents, which doesn't relieve you of the responsibility not to mishandle classified documents. If I take home classified documents for 10 years and I mishandle them and I leave them out everywhere, and then you come to me and say, turn in the documents, and then I turn in the documents, that doesn't mean I didn't do a criminal act before. And by the way, when it comes to Hillary Clinton, she actually like bleached bit her hard drive and all that. But none of this is the real reason they're not prosecuting Joe Biden. The real reason they are not prosecuting Joe Biden is because Special Counsel Robert Hur makes it clear in the report. This is what's so devastating for Biden. He makes it clear over and over and over again in this report that Joe Biden is no longer mentally fit to be even in the defense box, let alone president of the United States. What I'm about to read to you are all direct quotes from the special counsel report, making absolutely clear that Joe Biden is no longer with us. And not only that, has not been with us for years. More on this in just a second. Abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death of fetuses for the fifth consecutive year, despite the overturning of Roe versus Wade. It's been reported that, tragically, this total is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death in the United States combined. Preborn is leading the charge to turn this around. Every single day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues around 200 unborn babies. You see, by introducing a mom to her child on ultrasound, a baby's chance of survival could double. 200 babies are truly miraculous, but Preborn's work has only begun. By the time I finish this life-saving message, two unborn babies will be aborted just in this country. Will you join Preborn and the Ben Shapiro Show and make 2024 the biggest baby saving year in history? One ultrasound is just $28. $140 will offer five babies a chance at life. Just dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. You're not going to do anything more important today. Just dial #250 and say keyword baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/Ben. Already coming up, Joe Biden's memory. Well, it was a problem. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. For Arthur Schwartz, good for the people on the right who are doing this. And frankly, it's about damn time. It's past time. Coming up, we'll talk about how President Trump can remain consistent with his tariff policies, because he seems to be a little bit inconsistent. Does he like tariffs or does he not like tariffs? Or is this all just a bargaining gambit? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Umpqua Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring live animals showcasing their natural survival techniques used for hunting, foraging, adapting, and surviving in the wild. This educational animal show features mammals, reptiles, and free-flying birds. Saturdays from 2 to 2:30 inside the Mill Building at Turtle Bay. Included with paid admission, free for members. Great for animal enthusiasts of all ages. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
7 years ago. And it's gotten worse since then. Quote, we have also considered that at trial, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did during our interview of him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. So in other words, his defense is going to be that he is a nice old gent who doesn't remember things anymore. Which, is that a great description of what you want in the Oval Office? Based on our direct interactions with and observations of him, he is someone for whom many jurors will want to identify reasonable doubt. It would be difficult to convince a jury that they should convict him, by then a former president well into his 80s, of a serious felony that requires a mental state of willfulness. So they're saying that they're just going to see a geriatric dotard and they're going to let him off. More quotes from the special counsel report. Quote, Mr. Biden's memory also appears to have significant limitations, both at the time he spoke to his ghostwriter Zwanitzer in 2017, as evidenced by their recorded conversations, and today, as evidenced by his recorded interview with our office. Mr. Biden's recorded conversations with Zwanitzer from 2017 are often painfully slow, with Mr. Biden struggling to remember events and straining at times to read and relay his own notebook entries. Another quote. In his interview with our office, Mr. Biden's memory was even worse. He did not remember when he was vice president. This is mind-boggling stuff, folks. Joe Biden sits down with the special counsel investigating him over classified documents. He's president of the United States at the time. He does not remember when he was vice president, forgetting on the first day of his interview when his term ended. Quote, if it was 2013, when did I stop being vice president? And forgetting on the second day of the interview when his term began. Quote,
in 2009. Am I still vice president?
Now, call me crazy, but it seems to me that the president of the United States should remember when he was vice president of the United States, like in terms of the years. That seems pretty important. Like, I remember the year that we started our company here at Daily Wire. Pretty important year. It's 2015. I remember it's pretty important. There's a lot going on that year. That's not being vice president of the United States. He was vice president. He couldn't remember the years he was vice president. It gets worse. Quote, he did not remember, even within several years, when his son, Beau, died. Mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, Joe Biden pulls out the story of Beau's death all the time on the campaign trail, when asked difficult questions, all the time. It started off as sort of a sad thing that he would talk about his deceased son, and then became obnoxious and terrible because he would do it in the worst possible circumstances. He'd be talking to the family of a dead soldier, and he would suddenly be talking about Beau and implying that Beau had died in Iraq in service or something. But now we are learning from the special counsel that he, quote, did not remember even within several years when his son Beau died. And his memory appeared hazy when describing the Afghanistan debate that was once so important to him. Among other things, he mistakenly said he had a real difference of opinion with General Carl Eikenberry, when in fact Eikenberry was an ally who Mr. Biden cited approvingly in his Thanksgiving memo to President Obama. There's more. Quote, given Mr. Biden's tendency toward loose talk with Zwanitzer and Mr. Biden's limited precision and recall during his interview with our office discussed above, reasonable jurors may hesitate to place too much evidentiary weight on a single eight-word utterance to Zwanitzer from almost 8 years ago in the absence of other more direct evidence. In other words, the reason that we're not prosecuting him over saying to his ghostwriter, I have a bunch of classified information downstairs, is because he's too old and he's too senile. And then they reiterate, Biden will likely present himself to the jury as a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory. While he is and must be accountable for his actions, he is, after all, the president of the United States. Based on our direct observations of him, Biden is someone for whom many jurors will want to search for reasonable doubt. Quote, we believe some of the same evidence that supports reasonable doubt for classified Afghanistan documents also supports reasonable doubts for the notebooks, including Mr. Biden's cooperation with the investigation, his diminishing faculties in advancing age, and his sympathetic demeanor. Again, nice, old, senile man is the verdict. That's why he's not going to jail. This report is so much more devastating than a simple indictment would have been. A simple indictment, Biden probably would have gotten off. It would have killed Trump's classified documents indictment as well. But the stain of a special prosecutor saying we cannot prosecute him because he is old and senile is devastating. And of course, the Biden team picked up on that right away. They sent a letter, his lawyers, to Robert Hur, quote, we do not believe the report's treatment of President Biden's memory is accurate or appropriate. The report uses highly prejudicial language to describe a commonplace occurrence among witnesses, a lack of recall of years-old events. Such comments have no place in a Department of Justice report, particularly one that in the first paragraph announces no criminal charges are warranted and that the evidence does not establish Mr. Biden's guilt. And then they make an excuse. The excuse they use for why Joe Biden can't recall when his son died or when he was vice president is, quote, his interview began the day after the October 7th attacks on Israel. That's going to be the actual line. That's going to be the actual line. Now, I ask you, is that a good defense? So there's a major international crisis and the president gets more senile. And that apparently is supposed to be a defense to his senility. See, that's why we hire you for the job, is because you're supposed to handle the 4 a.m. phone call, as Hillary Clinton once called it, with some level of mental acuity. If you lose your faculties the minute an international emergency breaks out, what are you good for? What are you good for? So President Biden then put out a written statement in which he said, quote, over my career in public service, I have always worked to protect America's security. I take these questions seriously. No one has ever questioned that. Okay, he didn't make any comment in his original statement about his lack of mental faculty at this point. Jake Tapper on CNN was correctly skeptical of Biden's original explanation. And you can see many members of the media were pretty critical of the defense because we can all see it. We can all see it. Everybody has been told in the media to shut up about Joe Biden being senile. He's senile. He's been senile for several years at this point. We all know it. Every time you watch him talk, you see it. Every time you watch him walk, you can see he no longer is in control of himself. This is not a giant secret. We've all just been gaslit for years on end. Already coming up, even some members of the media were skeptical of Joe Biden's explanation, including Jake Tapper over at CNN, the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tagger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Redding.
Hello, Northern California. This is Roland from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
It's your sales.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So even the media, members of the media, were starting to say, no, this the special counsel is not wrong. Here was Jake Tapper yesterday.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, because this is a particularly bad week for this report and its comments about President Biden's faculties and his memory to come out, because twice this week he has acted as if he, in 2021, spoke to European leaders who have been dead for years. Once he confused François Mitterrand, who died in 1996, with Emmanuel Macron, who is still very much alive. And another time he was referring to Angela Merkel, until recently the Chancellor of Germany, and referred to Helmut Kohl, who I think died in 2017. So this memory issue is already out there.
But I want to know how many voters in Michigan, Wisconsin, you think know the difference between Kohl
they don't
and,
know, but they
Merkel.
Know when
or
somebody...
are going to cast their vote. Well, you asked. Yes.
Sorry. Okay.
Or are going to cast their vote for president based on whether someone is naming Emmanuel Macron or François Mitterrand, well, whose name they probably don't even know.
But it's not about that. It's about faculty and memory and whether or not somebody they perceive is competent.
Okay, so Tapper is speaking for virtually all Americans on this. Whatever Joe Biden's random failure of the day, it's not about what he said when he mixes up a dead French president with a live French president, or mixes up Germany and France. The problem, of course, is that everyone knows. Everyone can look and see that Joe Biden is no longer in control of his faculties. So this is now emergency time. And fairly late last night for Joe Biden, which is to say 7:45 at night. We know that he usually calls a little at like 7 p.m. because, again, the man is... he's currently on the old age home schedule. They have him in political hospice, this president. It's really sad. Honest to God, it's really, really sad. He's my president because he was elected president. And it's sad to watch the president of the United States not in control of himself. So they called a presser, an emergency presser at 7:45. Now, there's only one goal for calling an emergency press conference, and that is to blow up the widespread assumption that Joe Biden is not in control of himself. Right. The idea was going to be that in a normal political cycle, what would happen is the president would come out, he'd be fully in control. He'd be ready to go, fully in control. And he would then demonstrate that the special counsel was just wrong, that he was having an off day, or that he hadn't had a lot of sleep last night, or that the special counsel hates him. But clearly this is a person who is not only in command, this is a person who is at the peak of his powers. So Joe Biden comes out last night. We're going to go through this whole press conference because it is the most disastrous press conference in presidential history, bar none. I've seen a lot of them, folks. I've been following this stuff for over 20 years, and I've seen a lot of tape. This is easily the worst press conference of all time, because not only does Joe Biden show that he is not in control of his faculties, he then proceeds to commit the same botcheries that led the special counsel to say that he is not in control of his faculties. So this thing starts off, and as always, Joe Biden, it's kind of like a wind-up toy at this point. The first several minutes, you're like, okay, well, he looks awake. And then as whatever they've shot him up with wears off, he starts to fail, and the batteries start to sputter, and the light behind his eyes starts to dim. You can see it happening in real time, which is why it's important that we watch the whole thing. So Joe Biden staggers out at about 7:55, 10, 15 minutes late to his own press conference. And 7:58, I guess, is 13 minutes late to his own press conference. And he proceeds to then speak about the special counsel report.
As you know, the special counsel released his findings today about their look into my handling of classified documents. I was pleased to see he reached the firm conclusion that no charges should be brought against me in this case. This was an exhaustive investigation going back more than 40 years, even into the 1970s when I was still a new United States senator. The special counsel acknowledged I cooperated completely. I did not throw up any roadblocks. I sought no delays. In fact, I was so determined to give the special counsel what he needed, I went forward with a five-hour in-person interview over 2 days on October the 8th and 9th of last year, even though Israel had just been attacked by Hamas on the 7th, and I was very occupied. It was in the middle of handling an international crisis. I was especially pleased to see Special Counsel make clear the stark distinction and difference between this case and Mr. Trump's case. Special Counsel wrote, and I quote, Several material distinctions between Mr. Trump's case and Mr. Biden's are clear, continuing to quote. Most notably, after given multiple chances to return classified documents to avoid prosecution, Mr. Trump allegedly did the opposite. According to the indictment, he not only refused to return the documents for many months, he also obstructed justice by enlisting others to destroy evidence and then to lie about it. In contrast, he went on to say Mr. Biden turned in classified documents to the National Archives and the Department of Justice, consented to the search of multiple locations, including his home, sat for a voluntary interview, and in other ways cooperated with the investigation.
So, pause it there for a second. You can see, obviously, he's reading off teleprompter. Right? He's not pausing to think or anything. He's reading a quote off the teleprompter, and the slurring is getting worse. Again, I'm hesitant to analyze the affect of Joe Biden's speaking, because what's there to say? But this entire press conference was designed regarding affect. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. The entire press conference was about, can Joe Biden handle himself for longer than 5 minutes? We are currently 2 minutes into this press conference. He's already starting to fade.
I've seen the headlines since the report was released about my willful retention of documents. These assertions are not only misleading, they're just plain wrong. On page 215, if you had a chance, I know it's a thick document. On page 215, the report of the special counsel found the exact opposite. Here's what he wrote. There is, in fact, a shortage of evidence that I willfully retained classified materials related to Afghanistan. On page 12, the special counsel also wrote, for another documents, the decision to decline criminal charges was straightforward. The evidence suggests that Mr. Biden did not willfully retain these documents. The evidence said I did not willfully retain these documents. In addition, I know there's some attention paid to some language in the report about my recollection of events. There's even reference that I don't remember when my son died. How in the hell dare he raise that?
Okay, pause it for a second. Okay, this is where it starts to go off the rails for Joe Biden, truly off the rails. So far, he's just been reading from the report. Now, he has no defense for the claim that he doesn't know when his son died. So instead, he tries to substitute outrage. So the claim was that Joe Biden will be found by a jury to be an affable elderly gentleman who is not in control of his faculties. Joe Biden went out there to prove that he is in control of his faculties. Instead, he spent the rest of the press conference demonstrating that he is, in fact, not affable, that he is, in fact, not likable. So this is where things start to go totally sideways for him.
Frankly, when I was asked the question, I thought to myself, it wasn't any of their damn business.
Wait, what?
Let me tell you something. Some of you have commented. I wear, since the day he died, every single day, the rosary he got from Our Lady of...
Oh, no.
Every Memorial Day, we hold a service remembering him.
Okay, pause it right there.
Friends.
He literally, in the middle of his big dramatic moment, cannot remember where they got the rosary for Bo. I mean, we are 3 minutes into this press conference. It started at 7:58. It is now 8:01 p.m. Eastern Time. And the President of the United States trying to demonstrate that he is in full control of his faculties and getting into the heightened emotional moment of trying to show that he knows every detail about Bo, himself steps directly onto the landmine, mentioning a thing no one asked about, this rosary that he was going to use as a prop, He pulls it out and then cannot remember where he got it. In the middle of the presser. That's just the beginning, folks. It gets worse.
The family and the people who loved him. I don't need anyone. I don't need anyone to remind me when he passed away. Simple truth is I sat for a five-hour interview over 2 days of events.
It's getting worse.
Back 40 years. At the same time I was managing an international crisis, their task was to make a decision about whether to move forward with charges in this case. That's their decision to make. That's the counsel's decision to make. That's his job. And they decided not to move forward. For any extraneous commentary, they don't know what they're talking about. It has no place in this report.
Okay, stop it there. That's not even true. Of course it has a place in the report. The report is not just about whether or not Joe Biden mishandled classified documents. He very clearly did. The question is why you're not prosecuting him if he mishandled classified documents. And the answer is because we're not going to prosecute a senile old man. When he says that it's not their place to analyze that, of course it is. That's what prosecutorial discretion is. This happens literally every day for prosecutors across the country. They have to decide whether they believe they will be able to succeed in a case. And one of the factors in whether you're going to be able to succeed is the state of the defendant in the case. So Joe Biden, again, trying to walk right past the question, it's not going to work. And again, we're 4 minutes in. I keep time checking this because all he had to do was give a presser in which he said things and didn't answer questions for probably 5 minutes. And within three, he's screwing up basic matters of fact. He's mischaracterizing the report and he's fading incredibly badly. Here we go.
The matter is now closed. I'm going to continue what I've always focused on. My job of being president of the United States of America. Now, thank you, and I'll take some questions.
President Biden, something the special counsel said in his report is that one of the reasons you were not charged is because, in his description, you are a well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory.
I'm well-meaning, and I'm an elderly man, and I know what the hell I'm doing. I've been president, and I put this country back on its feet. I don't need his recommendation. That's totally
out. How bad is your memory, and can you continue as president?
My memory is so bad, I let you speak. That's
what. Your memory has gotten worse, Mr. President.
My memory is not good. My memory is fine. My memory. Take a look at what I've done since I become president. None of you thought I could pass any of the things I got passed. How'd that happen? You know, I guess I just forgot what was going on.
Pause it for a second. Okay, so. He's not clearing up anything about his memory here. He's simply saying, I
did a lot of stuff as president of the United States.
And he tries a failed joke about why he's calling on Peter Ducey. My memory is so bad that I even called on you. Ah, ha, ha. This isn't going to work. He looks physically assaulted when the reporters start pestering him with questions. As you'll see for the rest of this presser, which doesn't last very long, the president of the United States is facing incoming questions. This happens all the time. Every president in my lifetime has been in a press scrum. The press asks many questions. They're talking over one another. They don't look like this. He looks, I promise you, he looks like one of my small children when there are loud noises in the room. He looks physically assaulted by the questions. It's really bad, and it gets significantly worse. You think it's bad so far, and we're 5 minutes in? Wait another 30 seconds. Coming up, more on the most disastrous press conference in American history. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Tired of that long drive home from Sacramento? Try Redding Regional Airport, where you can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. RDD is located just down the road. Skip the drive, enjoy quick check-ins, and travel with ease and convenience. Getting where you want to go is easier than ever with nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. Enjoy that vacation you've been dreaming about. Fly with ease and convenience from Redding Regional Airport.
Hey, listeners, when it comes to romance, what's more romantic than two forks sharing one creamy, delicious piece of cheesecake? Drizzle that cheesecake with Nutella, the irresistible and beloved cocoa hazelnut spread, and you've got a shareable sweetheart of a dessert to finish off your Black Bear Diner meal. So grab your Valentine and make your way to Black Bear Diner for a cozy and shareable celebration. Order online at blackbeardiner.com or stop by daily at our Reading location.
Black Bear Diner. Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Butcher.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden gave what can only be described as the most catastrophic press conference a president has ever given. Remember, we are currently 5 minutes into his press conference. He has already failed to come up with where his son's rosary came from. And again, that's an own goal. Nobody even asked him about it. He has suggested that his memory is not, in fact, fading in any way, shape, or form, while simultaneously fading in energy. He looks like he's being assaulted by the questions that he himself solicited. It gets worse, folks. We are 5 minutes in. It doesn't last much longer, but it's a bad period of time. Here we go.
Do you have concerns about your age? How are you going to dissuade them? And do you fear that this report is only going to fuel further concerns about your age?
Only by some of you.
Mr. President, do you take responsibility for at least being careless with classified material?
I take responsibility for not having seen exactly what my staff was doing. It goes in and points out things that appeared in my garage, things that came out of my home, things that were moved not by me, but my staff.
If you can't see it, folks, he's like blinking. He looks assaulted.
When you were asked about your age, you would respond with the words, "Watch me." Well, many American people have been watching, and they have expressed concerns about your age.
That is your judgment. That is your judgment. That is not the judgment of the press.
They express concerns about your mental acuity. They say that you are too old. Mr. President, in December, you told me that you believe there are many other Democrats who could defeat Donald Trump. So why does it have to be you now? What is your answer to that question?
Because I'm the most qualified person in this country to be President of the United States and finish the job I started.
You pause it there for a second. So, couple things. One, when he says that's your judgment, not the judgment of the press, first of all, that is the judgment of the voters. Every poll taken for the last 2 years has suggested that the American people have deep and apparently well-grounded concerns about Joe Biden's mental state. And then when he says he is the person who is most qualified to be president in the United States, that is a rather audacious claim. How many Democrats really believe that? That there's no one else in the United States who's better qualified to be president of the United States than Joe Biden? Nobody believes that, which is why this dude has a serious problem on his hands.
I did not share classified information. I did not share it.
Pause it. That's a lie. He's just lying. It's not true. The report itself says he shared classified information with his ghostwriter. It says it straight up. When he says that he did not share classified information with his ghostwriter, he is not telling the truth. It is a lie. Okay, so he's lying and he's forgetting things in a press conference that is supposed to be how he is a totally with the truth teller. Continue.
Not. Guarantee you did not.
But what special counsel said
it. Well, no, he did not say that.
Okay.
He did not say that.
But Mr. President,
let me answer your question. The fact of the matter is, what I didn't want repeated, I didn't want him to know, and I didn't read it to him, was I had written a long memorandum to President Obama why we should not be in Afghanistan. And I was of this multiple pages. And so what I was referring to, I said classified, I should have said it was should be private because it was a contact between the president and the vice president as to what was going on. That's what he's referring to. It was not classified information in that document. That was not classified.
When you look back at this incident, is there anything you would do differently now? And do you think that a special prosecutor should have been appointed in the first place in both of these cases?
First of all, what I would have done is oversee the transfer of the material that was in my office, in my offices. I should have done that. If I go back, I didn't have the responsibility to that. That was my staff was supposed to do that, and they referenced that in the report. And my staff did not do it in the way that, for example, I didn't know how half the boxes got in my garage until I found out staff gathered them up, put them together, and took them to the garage of my home. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. It was in my house. It wasn't out in, like in Mar-a-Lago, in a public place where, and none of it was high classified. Didn't have any of that red stuff on it. You know what I mean, around the corners? None of that. And so I wish I had paid more attention to how the documents were being moved and where. I thought they were being moved to the archives. I thought all of it was being moved. That's what I thought. Now, what was the last part of your question?
Whether a special counsel should have been appointed in this case and in the case of your rival president, former president.
I think a special counsel should have been appointed. And the reason I think a special counsel should have been appointed is because I did not want to be in a position that they looked at Trump and weren't going to look at me, just like they looked at the vice president. And the fact is they made a firm conclusion. I did not break the law, period. Thank you all very, very much.
Okay, so he says, thank you very much. And then he starts to head off. And at this point, his staff is like, wow, this was bad. This was not good. But maybe they're breathing a sigh of relief. And then he comes back. He comes back for more. Here we go. He comes back for more. And his staff are like, they must be screaming bloody murder at this point. What are you doing?
I'm of the view, as you know, that the conduct of the response in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, has been over the top. I think that, as you know,
man, he's
initially
not
the president of Mexico, Sisi, did not want to open up the gate to allow humanitarian material to
get
in.
Okay, pause it for a second. So he comes back just to suggest, apparently, that Israel's response in Gaza has been over the top. Now, the White House is out there, clean up on aisle 9, trying to say that what he was saying is that Hamas's response in Gaza to demands they release the hostages have been over the top. Whatever he means, he clearly is saying something terrible morally there. Israel's response to 1,200 of its citizens being murdered and 240 taken captive and 100 still being held captive is not, in fact, over the top. And it's gross of him to say so to earn votes in Dearborn, Michigan. All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here for much more on Monday. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens.
A massive foreign aid bill is one step closer to passing through the Senate. Friday night, senators voted on amendments in the $95 billion package funding Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. They will provide, in part, $60 billion to Ukraine, $14 billion to Israel. The former governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, is running for U.S. Senate.
Hogan made the announcement on Friday to run for a seat that hasn't had a Republican senator in 37 years. The former governor is a moderate who considered a presidential bid. As governor, he became a national figure as one of the few members of the GOP willing to criticize Donald Trump. Republican leaders are wrestling with Democrats for Senate control, so they're eager to pick up a seat. Hogan, who served two terms as governor and left office early last year, announced his bid for Senate just hours before Maryland's filing deadline. He'll run for Senator Ben Cardin's open seat, who is retiring. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Federal health officials say flu cases are on the rise in parts of the Midwest. Correspondent Jackie Quinn has more on the story.
Although the numbers are coming down nationwide, flu-like viruses appear to be spreading in the Midwest. The Centers for Disease Control says 23 states are now seeing high levels of respiratory illnesses. That's up from 18 states the week before. And that includes COVID-19 cases, which right now are outpacing the flu. Since October, there have been 22 million people who've gotten sick, and 15,000 flu deaths have been reported so far. Overall, researchers say it looks like the flu season reached its peak in late December, but a second surge is possible. I'm Jackie Quinn.
House Republicans will take another shot at impeaching the Homeland Security Secretary next week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you haven't switched to MediShare yet, two big reasons to at least consider it and why it makes so much sense right now. Number one is inflation, which is just affecting everything. It just makes sense to say, okay, where can I actually save? Well, you can save a lot in one fell swoop if you switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 a month. Secondly, your conscience. MediShare members aren't forced to pay for things they don't support or believe in, and that's a big deal for a lot of people right now. They want their money to actually help people. And one more reason, you can trust MediShare. It's been the gold standard for healthcare sharing for more than 30 years. It works, and members love it, too. It has double the member satisfaction rating compared to health insurance. So now's a great time to consider making the switch, and they are very easy to talk to. MediShare has great customer service. You can call now and get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. It's 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE, 844-41-BIBLE.
A radio station disappears.
Radio station manager says the theft of its giant tower has silenced what used to be the voice of a small Alabama town and surrounding county. Authorities say a thief or thieves made off with the 200-foot tower, which was discovered missing February 2nd. That shut down WJLX radio in Jasper, Alabama. So far, no arrests have been made. WJLX general manager Brett Elmore says a nearby building that stored important equipment was also vandalized, with every piece of equipment inside stolen. The station had no insurance on any of it. He estimates it'll take anywhere from $60,000 to $100,000 to rebuild. Keith Peters reporting.
Severe weather in the Midwest is spawning rare tornadoes in February. Thursday storms triggered the first ever February tornado warning in Wisconsin. The National Weather Service in Davenport, Iowa says it's only the second February tornado in the area since 1950. News and analysis at townhall.com. State Attorney General for Kansas is telling public schools that they must inform parents if their kids start acting like they're members of the opposite sex.
Attorney General Chris Kobach says public schools in Kansas are required to tell parents that their children are transgender or non-binary, even if the student has not come out at home. Kansas is not among the states with a law that explicitly says to do that. Kobach says failing to disclose when a child is socially transitioning or identifying as non-binary at school violates a parent's rights. And he sent letters in December to six school districts and the state Association for Local School Board Members, then followed up with a public statement on Thursday. I'm Donna Water.
Ford Motor Company getting rid of its driver assist parallel parking feature on new vehicles. Officials say very few people are using it and will save the company money. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact, B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, we have now reached the point in American life where, in our racially divided society, there is a quick get-out-of-jail-free card. So long as you are a member of an intersectional group, if you've done something wrong, if you are accused of corruption, if you are accused of some sort of malfeasance, the get-out-of-jail-free card is, you're attacking me because I'm black. And this has significant ramifications for American public life, because the simple fact of the matter is that in a meritocracy, we should be able to point out when you are corrupt, when you have failed. And if every defense to failure is that the system itself is biased against you, well, that means that you're going to get more failure system-wide. This is true everywhere, from politics to administration. It's true everywhere, from the business world to the educational world. If when Claudine Gay gets fired from Harvard University, the basic idea is that it must be a racist system that got her fired, there's no way to hold people accountable if they are of minority race. If, for example, you are a politician and it turns out that you're deeply corrupt and your first move is to claim that America is racist and that's why you're being targeted, and if that's believed, then there's no way to get rid of corrupt officials so long as they are of minority status. And once that standard is created, once the basic idea is that certain people in our society have that get out of jail free card and others do not, then all standards collapse, because a double standard is no standard at all. The latest iteration of this particular foolish defense, divisive defense, comes courtesy of a person named Tiffany Henyard. You might not have heard of Tiffany Henyard, but this is a burgeoning story about a small town mayor who's been alleged to have engaged in significant corruption on a vast scale. According to the UK Daily Mail, the first female mayor of a tiny Illinois village has been slammed for, quote, living like a royal at taxpayer expense by taking a $300,000 salary and racking up huge expenses. Glamorous Tiffany Henyard was elected leader of Dalton. It's a village of 20,000 people in 2021. She has since come under fire for what many see as her excessive spending. She regularly engages the services of a professional hair and makeup team and stylist before public appearances and photo shoots for the county's taxpayer-funded billboards. Those often feature her in what some people say is shameless self-promotion. She also attempted to propose a new law that would cap the next mayor's salary at $25,000 unless the next mayor is her, in which case she gets to keep her gigantic salary. This has been deemed illegal by many people. That is just the latest scandal to hit her. She was slammed for hiring her former campaign worker as the town's code enforcement officer, despite the fact that he is a convicted child rapist. She also raised eyebrows after spending hundreds of thousands of tax dollars on security details, including one for an event with senior citizens and another occasion where she pulled cops off the street to perform a protection outfit for her. She also racked up a trip to Las Vegas where she spent some $3,000 on airfare. And so she is now being investigated for all of this. And here is her defense, a defense that has become the all-purpose defense for an enormous number of people in our post-George Floyd society. Here she was yesterday talking about her alleged corruption and the reasons why she's being targeted.
Y'all should be ashamed of y'allself. Y'all black. Y'all are black. And y'all sitting up here beating and attacking on a black woman that's in power. Y'all should be ashamed of y'allself.
Again, the basic idea here is that even if a black person is asking this particular mayor about her corruption, it must be because they're a race traitor of some sort. Again, if basic standards of meritocracy and decency are to be put aside in favor of claims that any critique is rooted in race, that means there can't be any meritocracy anymore, which, of course, is the basic idea, that social justice can only be established by getting rid of baseline standards of competency. And again, we see this across the board in the United States in a wide variety of places. Just yesterday, we played a clip of Mayor Brandon Johnson of Chicago being questioned over his handling of the huge migrant crisis that has hit the city of Chicago, along with the crime crisis, along with the issues of economic problems in the city. And his answer was, I'm a black man with a black wife and black kids. How dare you attack me? This mentality is actually horrifyingly bad for the country. Here was Brandon Johnson just a couple days ago.
I have children who attend schools who have soccer games, y'all. You know, you all are asking me as if I'm not a parent in this city. I get it. I'm mayor. I get it. But you're asking me to give you a date, and I have to court. Do you understand that you have not had a mayor like me? I get that. I have a wife. I have children. They have schedules. And plus, we still have public safety that we have to address. We still have the unhoused that we have to address. I still have a budget that I have to address. And I'm doing all of that with a black wife raising three black children on the west side of the city of Chicago. I am going to the border as soon as possible.
Okay. What does the race of his wife and his children have to do with anything? The answer is you can't critique me because he is citing his race. Of course, he's following the footsteps of Lori Lightfoot, who was recently ousted as mayor of Chicago after one short term because she was a terrible mayor, but she also happened to be a black lesbian, and therefore she also claimed that she had been ousted not because she was terrible at her job, but because she was black. When asked after the election if she had lost because of her race in a city like Chicago, which is heavily minority, she said, I'm a black woman in America. Of course. She had said in an interview with the New Yorker prior to the election, quote, I'm a black woman, let's not forget. Certain folks, frankly, don't support us in leadership roles. The same forces that didn't want Harold Washington to succeed, they're still here. That's referring to the city's first black mayor. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First,
at Jeremy's Razors, we're all about letting men be men and women be women. That's why we're introducing our brand new women's razors. Two genders, two razors, it's that simple. Get yours today at jeremysrazors.com.
This sort of excuse-making is a way of lowering standards of performance for everyone. And again, we see it across the board. Fannie Willis, who's the DA, who's currently going after Donald Trump in Atlanta. And by all accounts, doing a pretty terrible job of it. A person who apparently hired her lover as a prosecutor despite his lack of prosecutorial experience and did it using taxpayer dollars and then took cruises with this guy and now is admitting to being in a sexual relationship with a person she hired with taxpayer dollars as a prosecutor with no prosecutorial background. She's doing the same routine. All the critiques of her must, of course, be based on race. Here was Fannie Willis, not all that long ago, talking about how racism was behind all the accusations targeting her.
I appointed three special counsel, as is my right to do, paid them all the same hourly rate. They only attack women. Isn't it them playing the race card when they constantly think, I need someone from some other jurisdiction in some other state to tell me how to do a job I've been doing almost 30 years? Why are they so surprised that a diverse team that I assembled, your child, can accomplish extraordinary things? How come God, the same black man I hired, was acceptable when a Republican in another county hired him and paid him twice the rate? Why is the white male Republican's judgment good enough, but the black female Democrat not?
Well, I mean, because the white male Republican wasn't a guy. That would be the answer to that particular question, I assume. But again, the answer to every question about impropriety is now race in America, so long as you are able to play that card. And it's a dangerous card to play. It undermines standards of stability and decency and performance in literally every industry. This is why you see people ranging from Bill Ackman to Elon Musk going after diversity, equity, and inclusion. Let's be very frank about this. Affirmative action, as a practice, is a zero-sum game. Meritocracy is the only form of measurement of performance that is not a zero-sum game because it creates positive externalities. Externalities are the consequences that accrue to outside people that are not involved in a transaction. So you and I, we have a transaction. The transaction presumably benefits both of us. But if we live in a meritocracy and I'm good at my job and you're good at your job, and then we exchange goods and services, then presumably there are positive externalities to people who are not us. I'm good at my job, which means I'm highly productive. You're good at your job. You're highly productive. And now we produce products at a cheaper and better rate for people outside of that particular situation. That is the beauty of the meritocracy, is that it benefits everyone. Merit helps everyone. When the best people do the best job at the best time for the best price, that is great for everyone. However, When you instead are stacking employment, for example, on the basis of race, you are taking people who are less meritorious and you are forcing the public to essentially pay a subsidy to employ that person. That is the problem with DEI, not just that it's discriminatory, but that it costs everyone. Now, you can make the argument that since the costs are diffuse, meaning that they accrue to a huge variety of citizens, and the benefits are incredibly acute, meaning they accrue to one person who gets the benefit off of this, no big deal. But the problem is when you keep doing that over and over and over again, the costs to society start to grow and grow and grow again. And that's what you're starting to see in agencies like the Federal Aviation Administration. So my friend and colleague Matt Walsh, he released a Twitter thread today talking about internal footage of senior officials at the FAA's Flight Program Operations Division, which he says is responsible for all aspects of aircraft operations, workshopping a plan to reduce the number of white males in aviation. Now, why would that be a useful thing? You want to talk about a situation where you need positive externalities? How about being good at your job when you are directing aircraft how to land, for example? And putting a less qualified person in place, well, there the costs are not diffuse. There the costs are incredibly acute. If you're on the plane that gets misdirected into the ground because a less qualified person for any reason is put into a particular position, when the costs really, really are high for you, when you're talking about high-cost industries, like, for example, aviation, you need a meritocracy, even more than you would in, say, a low-cost industry like stocking a grocery shelf or something. Well, Matt got footage of the FAA Acting Deputy Chief Operating Officer, Angela McCullough, saying that more workers need to go from ramp to cockpit, meaning she wants to see more baggage handlers become airline pilots. And then, as the meeting continues, she declares it's important to, quote, get a little uncomfortable. Get a little uncomfortable is always, quote, is always a euphemism for, I'm going to say something super racist right now, but if you're white, just take it on the chin and accept it. She apparently complains that flight operations is, quote, white male dominated and tells the managers that, quote, need to talk about what the future could look like. Here she was.
Yeah, we need to be willing to have a conversation about kind of what's standing in our way from approaching some of these things differently than we have historically approached them. And just even the internal bias, I mean, particularly in flight ops, your whole program is very heavily male-dominated.
Well, male-dominated.
It just is. And really, it is white male-dominated.
Oh, white male.
I mean, let's just say what it is. And so let's be willing that is today what it is. And then let's talk about what could the future look like if we really had this program that was representative of the whole country, right, of the whole world.
I just have a representative. I don't care about the representational level of the Federal Aviation Administration. It's absurd. Why should I possibly care about whether the demographic of the FAA is representative in any way of the broader demographic? Do we have to have, like, a heavy share of Hispanic females in order for the FAA to be good at its job? And first of all, you have a huge selection bias problem. I'd love to see what the applicant pool looks like for the FAA. I promise you, it's male-dominated. Just start with that. But beyond that, what in the hell is she talking about? Why in the world would I – if you're talking about a job where your personal life experience means literally nothing, making sure a plane goes where it is supposed to go is not one where it's like, well, I grew up in a diverse neighborhood and I had a bunch of friends with diverse backgrounds, and that's really informed how I do my job as a person who makes sure the plane lands on time where it's supposed to land. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. You're not even talking about, like, English literature or something subjective like that. You're talking about making a plane land in a place without hitting another plane. That's what you're talking about. I don't care whether you grew up poor or rich. You have one job and one job only. And all I care about is that you're good at that job. I don't care about any of the other things. But as Matt points out, this actually is a problem in aviation, just as it would be in any other job. When you lower the standards for the job so as to achieve a quote-unquote diverse workforce, what you are actively doing is making the employment base worse at their job. That is what it is. More on this in a moment. Abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death of fetuses for the fifth consecutive year, despite the overturning of Roe versus Wade. It's been reported that, tragically, this total is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death in the United States combined. Preborn is leading the charge to turn this around. Every single day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues around 200 unborn babies. You see, by introducing a mom to her child on ultrasound, a baby's chance of survival could double. 200 babies are truly miraculous, but Preborn's work has only begun. By the time I finish this life-saving message, two unborn babies will be aborted just in this country. Will you join Preborn and the Ben Shapiro Show and make 2024 the biggest baby-saving year in history? One ultrasound is just $28. $140 will offer five babies a chance at life. Just dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. /Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. You're not going to do anything more important today. Just dial #250 and say keyword baby or donate securely at preborn.com/Ben. Already coming up, it turns out that Delta is not only benefiting certain pilots at the expense of others, they also have a helpful manual for those who are seeking to transition. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Tired of that long drive home from Sacramento? Try Reading Regional Airport, where you can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. RDD is located just down the road. Skip the drive, enjoy quick check-ins, and travel with ease and convenience. Getting where you want to go is easier than ever with nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. Enjoy that vacation you've been dreaming about. Fly with ease and convenience from Reading Regional Airport.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So you just wanted a pilot who could, you know, take off and land your plane. Delta wants you to know that pilot might be a man who believes he's a woman. As Matt points out, he apparently got information from another source, a pilot who works at Delta. Matt says that this pilot says that Delta has recently promoted a trans-identifying pilot who repeatedly received bad reviews from captains. According to the source, this pilot, quote, would likely not have survived probation if he were not trans. The source also notes that Delta routinely makes exceptions for trans-identifying pilots concerning grooming and behavioral standards. Internally, Delta has even published a lengthy guide for pilots who believe they were born in the wrong body. It is titled Helpful Steps for Transitioning at Delta and shows a person carrying a Pride Progress flag in front of a Delta plane. Matt says this industry-wide embrace of overt mental illness afflicts every aspect of aviation. Another source told me his job is to design advanced military systems, but he's constantly sidetracked by DEI proposals like gender-inclusive seatbelts. This is a quote from the person. Quote, for context, I work in a field where my job is to design military systems for the warfighter, and I have to deal with new hires pitching me ideas about gender-inclusive seatbelts. Companies are made up of two types of individuals, those who eat, sleep, and breathe, DEI, ESG, the people who put the pronoun in their email signature, and those who keep their mouths shut and do the work. We have affirmation groups, protections, and heritage months for every single type of person except white men. If I don't have at least two DEI, ESG meetings or trainings per week on my calendar, then the all-hands town hall meetings have some sort of DEI baked into the agenda. Several sources have also informed Matt about something. It's an FAA program. It's called EFAS, which prioritizes, quote, Indian tribal-owned corporations and socially and economically disadvantaged businesses for billions of dollars in critical grant funding. I mean, again, bottom line here is competence and meritocracy are good for everyone. And the predictable result of all this, by the way, in the employment market is it actually makes it harder for private employers to employ people who are qualified of minority groups. Because when you, as an employer, are deciding, and we here at Daily Wire obviously abide by all federal laws and regulations. I have to say that because otherwise the NLRB sends me an angry note for using my free speech. They've done it before. We abide by all federal and state and local regulations and laws. Okay, we've said it. Now, here is the reality about hiring in the United States as a broad trend. As a broad trend, when you consider whether to hire somebody, one of the things you are considering is the possibility of liability down the line, legal liability down the line. And the more we create a system in which we say that if you are a member of an intersectional group, not only am I supposed to hire you if you are less meritorious than the white guy next to you, but also if I decide that you're not good at the job and I fire you, I now may face a discrimination lawsuit. Why would I hire you in the first place? It actually makes it less likely that a qualified minority candidate will get the job because of the risk of liability that is now attached. All of this is devastating to American public life. Especially because it also results in a misread of situations. When someone is incompetent and they happen to be minority, it makes it easy for people to actually say, oh, it must be they're incompetent because they're a minority. When that isn't true, incompetence exists all over the spectrum. The beauty, again, of a meritocracy is if somebody doesn't make the standard, it's clear they didn't make the standard because they didn't make the standard, because we all know what the standard is. But if the standard no longer applies, and you're being hired based on your race or based on your ability to do as these mayors are doing and simply blame the man for your own problems. When that happens and then the person fails, then it's easy for people to misattribute that to race as opposed to properly attributing it to the general sinfulness and failure of mankind. All this stuff is deep and it's dark and it's a huge problem for the United States of America. It's why DEI has to go. DEI is terrible for the United States. And every vestige of this argument that incompetence can be covered for by claims about American racism, that crime rates can be covered for by claims about American racism, that educational underperformance can be covered for by claims about American racism, all of that reduces the ability of smart, capable people of all races to get ahead and make the world a better place for everyone who surrounds them, the entire society writ large. Okay, meanwhile, the media are doing their best to go after their presumed opponents. Insane story from NBC News targeting another one of my friends, Chaya Raichik. She's the creator of Libs of TikTok. The rip on Chaya, apparently, is that because she is posting true stories, there are a bunch of people who read her stories and then they send death threats. This is not called a news story. It's not. It is not. If I cover the news and then, because I have a very large audience, there are some nuts who go and do nuts things, that is not my fault. That is the fault of the nuts. And yet that is presumably what NBC News is basically saying, that we need to shut down free speech in order, presumably, to prevent crazy people from doing crazy things. They have an entire piece from NBC News titled, after Libs of TikTok posted, at least 21 bomb threats followed. Now, many of these bomb threats turn out to be hoaxes. It's unclear who even sent many of these bomb threats. Some of these people may not even be followers of Chaya. But the goal here is to suggest that social media ought to shut her down based on the activities of her followers. Now, this is a super dangerous precedent. And it's amazing that a free press is attempting to push that forward. The free press of all people in America should be really careful about what they wish for here. If we are talking about the idea that bad coverage of issues is now to blame for the bad actions of people who cover those issues, then the media is going to have a lot to answer for in America. It is perfectly easy to say the Black Lives Matter riots of 2020 can be laid almost entirely at the feet of the American media, if that's the case. That's a really easy argument to make. But they're going after Chaya because, again, this is what the media do. The media have decided that freedom of the press only applies to people who agree with them. So according to NBC News, Raichik is not accused of making any bomb threats in Iowa or anywhere else, which means that it's not a story. See, normally, when I don't make a bomb threat, there's no story about me. If somebody who listens to my show makes a bomb threat, also not a story about me. It's a story about the person who made the bomb threat. Already coming up, more from this NBC News hit job on Chaya Raichik. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record-high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
The National Wild Turkey Federation's 25th Annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is Saturday, March 9th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. To purchase tickets for the event, or if you would like more information, contact Candy Muse at 530-526-8350. That's 530-526-8350. Or online at nwtf.org/event. Sponsored by Johnny Morris Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Benelli, Voigt Harness Company, La Crosse, Sportsman's Guide, and Tacticam.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Umpqua Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring live animals showcasing their natural survival techniques used for hunting, foraging, adapting, and surviving in the wild. This educational animal show features mammals, reptiles, and free-flying birds. Saturdays from 2 to 2:30 inside the Mill Building at Turtle Bay. Included with paid admission, free for members. Great for animal enthusiasts of all ages. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So NBC News has a brand new journalistic standard. If somebody reads your story and does something bad, you're bad for writing the story. According to NBC News, about a day and a half before authorities responded to a threat at Coralville's Northwest Junior High, Rachick posted that the school offers a pornographic book in its library that teaches kids about gay sex. Now, there's no argument that it's false, that her story was false. The story was true. But that doesn't matter. NBC News is more concerned with trying to smear Chaya by association with people she doesn't even know. Quote, NBC News identified 33 instances starting in November 2020 when people or institutions singled out by libs of TikTok later reported bomb threats or other violence intimidation. The threats, which on average came several days after tweets from libs of TikTok, targeted schools, libraries, hospitals, small businesses, and elected officials in 16 states. 21 of the 33 threats were bomb threats, which most commonly targeted schools and were made via email. Absolute insanity that NBC News would, and this piece goes on and on and on and on. Again, the goal of it is to somehow smear reporters for reporting, so long as the people who follow the reporters, a small cadre of whom do bad things, can somehow be blamed on the reporter. That's the goal here. And this now merges with the blowback that Tucker Carlson is receiving for doing an interview with Vladimir Putin. Now, I haven't seen the interview with Vladimir Putin. You haven't seen the interview with Vladimir Putin. No one has seen the interview with Vladimir Putin. That interview is supposed to hit the airwaves tonight on X. And as I've said, I'm not going to prejudge the interview. The question is whether Tucker asked him any hard questions or whether it was sort of a massage. Now, I don't know because I haven't seen it. It will be a bad act of journalism if Tucker does not ask him some questions about, say, Evan Gershkovich, the Wall Street Journal reporter who's being held by Vladimir Putin as effectively a hostage, or if he doesn't ask him about what the end of the war looks like, or if he doesn't push him on his murderous record or his abuse of human rights and his targeting of civilians in Ukraine and all the rest, right? There are a bunch of questions that Tucker ought to ask, but Tucker hasn't asked any of those questions publicly yet, so I have no idea what he asked. The simple fact that Tucker is Tucker and went to Russia is now causing, apparently, some people in the EU to think about sanctioning him. Which, again, this is the unbelievable stupidity of politics. People who claim that they have any sort of principle abandon those principles at the first sign that those principles might be harmful to their political interests. It truly is an amazing thing. According to Newsweek, Tucker Carlson's interview with Russian President Vladimir Putin could see the conservative pundit targeted by EU lawmakers, current and former members of the European Parliament, have told Newsweek. Carlson visited Russia this week. On Tuesday, he revealed that he would soon be releasing an interview with Putin. Carlson's work in Russia could see the former Fox News host in hot water with the EU, according to Guy Verhofstadt, a former Belgian prime minister and current member of the European Parliament. The lawmaker described Carlson as a mouthpiece for former President Trump and Putin as well, adding, quote, as Putin is a war criminal and the EU sanctions all who assist him in that effort, it seems logical the External Action Service examine his case as well. Now, honestly, this is like the best thing that, in terms of media, could happen to Tucker. Having the EU target Tucker for doing an interview with Vladimir Putin makes Tucker's case for him. Tucker's entire case with regards to Vladimir Putin and Vladimir Zelensky has essentially been that the attempts by the media to draw a stark division between Vladimir Zelensky's administration in Ukraine and Vladimir Putin's administration in Russia is misbegotten, that Zelensky is engaged in corruption, that he's engaged in dictatorial behavior. By the way, there's some truth to a lot of what Tucker is saying about that. In my opinion, that still does not justify a full-scale Russian invasion of Ukraine or suggest that it's in America's interest to see Ukraine fully ingested by Russia, nor do I believe that Vladimir Putin somehow has Ukraine's best interests at heart. All these things can be true at once. But if the case that Tucker is making is that the EU is perfectly happy to shut down freedom of speech, but then they complain when Vladimir Putin does it, they're making Tucker's case for him when they say this. According to Newsweek, the EU's External Action Service is the bloc's diplomatic arm responsible for foreign policy. For an individual to be added to the EU sanctions list, evidence must be presented to the EAS for review. If deemed sufficient, the EAS can then present that case to the European Council, which is the body made up of EU national leaders, which takes the final decision on whether to impose sanctions or not. Now, again, highly unlikely, but there are some who are saying that they agree with the stance that Tucker should basically be treated as a propagandist on behalf of the Kremlin. Yeah, I think highly unlikely that that is what's going to take place. But it demonstrates once again, in the same way the media targeting Chaya Rachick shows, it just shows that if you violate certain taboos or if you stand on one side of the political aisle and not another side of the political aisle, all principles with regard to, say, free speech go by the wayside. Now, as I say, none of that answers the question as to whether Tucker's general perspective on Ukraine is right. I happen to think that his general perspective on Ukraine is short-sighted and wrong. I do not think the world is a better place if Vladimir Putin waltzes into Kyiv and simply takes it over at this point. Now, there is a growing trend line on the right that is a problem. one of the big divisions between right and left in the United States, historically speaking, has been that people on the right tend to think that America kicks ass and people on the left tend to think not. That is by polling data. Here, for example, is some of the polling data from Pew Research Center. The question was whether the U.S. stands above all other countries in the world, meaning like we're the best, whether the U.S. is one of the greatest countries along with others, or whether other countries are better than the U.S. And what you can see is that over the course of the time period, 2011 to 2023, Democrats have basically decided en masse that no one among the Democrats believes that the United States is the greatest country in the world. Extremely low number. In 2011, 31% of Democrats said that the United States stood above all other countries in the world. As of 2023, that number was 9%. 9%. So fewer than 1 in 10 Democrats, or those who lean Democrat, believes that America is better than all the other countries in the world. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First.
Hey, everyone. This is Daily Wire Editor-in-Chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe.
We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
When it comes to whether people believe that other countries are better than the United States, in 2011, only 8% of Democrats said that other countries are better than the United States. As of 2023, that number is now 36%. 36% of Democrats believe, over 1 in 3, that other countries are better than the United States. Which does raise the question as to why don't you then go to one of those countries? But if you look at the Republican side of the aisle, Republicans have been pretty consistent until the very recent past, until basically Joe Biden took office. Republicans have been very consistent in their belief that America is in fact the best country in the world. In 2011, 47% of Americans believed that America was the best country in the world. Only 5% of Americans believed other countries were better than the United States. Fast forward to 2019, same numbers. 46% of Republicans believed that America was the best country in the world, and only 5% of Americans believed that other countries were better than the United States. But if you fast forward to 2023, that number has now dropped 15%. Only 31% of Republicans believe that America is better than all the other countries in the world. And now 17%, or just under 1 in 5, Republicans believe that other countries are better than the United States. There is a growing sense, and it's connected to Joe Biden being elected, but it's not totally due to Joe Biden being elected. There's a growing sense that things are falling apart in the United States. And this is playing out in some strange foreign policy terms. And there's always been sort of this underlying idea on the paleocon right that virtually everything that goes wrong in the world is due to American overextension. That it's American foreign policy in the post-war era that has created all problems. Now, this neglects the fact that it was American foreign policy that defeated legitimately the greatest threat of the 20th century, which was not Nazi Germany. The greatest threat of the 20th century was the Soviet Union, because that threat lasted literally from the Soviet Revolution of 1918 all the way forward until 1990. It was a four-generation threat, and the United States defeated that. So that makes for a pretty good foreign policy, and that's a pretty good foreign policy record. And when you point to the shortcomings of American foreign policy since then, those are very real. But American hegemony has created freedom of the seas. American hegemony has created freedom of trade. American hegemony has ensured a huge percentage of the globe has risen from poverty. And yes, it has ensured the prosperity of American citizens. I understand that there is this kind of bizarre notion that Americans now are living worse than they did in 1980. There is no data to support this. The notion that Americans were living better in 1980, just an easy question for anyone who believes that. Would you wish to go back and live in 1980, materially speaking, not spiritually speaking, materially speaking, just in terms of the stuff you have? The answer is no. No one would. Because the way that you actually measure whether an economy has moved forward is the kinds of products, goods, and services you can now obtain for your time in the workforce. Again, I'll refer to a book called Superabundance here by Marion Tupi, among others. That's really good. That kind of breaks down just how economic progress has worked in the United States. The reason that I point this out is because when it comes to things like Russia versus Ukraine, the question of whether America is a positive force in the world is very much getting telescoped into a narrative about Russia and Ukraine. So as I said before, you don't have to be a great Vladimir Zelensky lover to agree that it is not in America's interest for Russia to widen its direct sphere of governance into Ukraine. Ukraine is an incredibly large territory. It has significant wheat resources. It does have ports that are very important to maintain for the West. Ukraine also happens to be the border into virtually all of Europe. It's a huge country. I mean, to understand how vitally important Ukraine is to the European map, you have to look at a map of Europe and look at Ukraine's borders. So here is a picture of what Europe looked like when the Soviets were dominating the Eastern Bloc. Right? The Warsaw Pact, that's the countries in pink here, these were essentially countries that were ruled indirectly by the Soviet Union. And as you can see, when the Soviet Union was around, the borders of the Soviet Union went all the way up to Greece in the south. They went all the way west to Austria and West Germany in the west and Denmark. Right? They included Poland, East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria. And that meant, as everyone sort of knew, that the possibility of a serious world war was pretty high. Because you walk across that border from East to West Germany with some tanks, and suddenly you're in World War III. Okay, in the post-war era, that map changes. And now what you see is a bunch of newly independent countries that have been broken away from the Warsaw Pact. They're no longer part of the Warsaw Pact. These are independent countries with independent governances. And history didn't stop for these people. I was just in Poland. Okay, the Polish people do not wish to be dominated again by the Russians. They don't. If you know anything about Polish history, what you'll realize is that for a very long time, for about a century and a half before the reconstitution of Poland in the aftermath of World War I, there was no Poland. It was basically divided up between the Austro-Hungarian Empire and the Russians. And the Polish people have no desire to be dominated by the Russians again. And again, if you look at that old map, the Russians did run Poland. And that is why the Solidarity Movement was created. It's why Poland sought to break free of Soviet domination. And so when you go to the new map, what you see is a bunch of countries that do not wish to be dominated by the Russians, ranging from Finland and Sweden in the north to Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, the Baltic states. Those include, of course, Poland. So if, for example, Russia were to take Ukraine, so the way that this map works, Belarus is on the border of Russia. Belarus is effectively a Russian client state. Belarus was used as a staging point for the invasion of Ukraine in the first place back in 2022. If Ukraine were to be taken over, what you would now see is the Russians butting up against Poland, butting up against Hungary, butting up against Romania, butting up against much more of Western Europe. It is not in America's interest to facilitate Russia's ownership of the resources in Ukraine, nor is it in America's interest for Russia to now be on the borders of a bunch of other countries that they would then try to break. One of the other things that you can see from this map is that the Baltic states are in serious danger, like every day of every year. Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, it is only the security guarantees of NATO that ensure that Russia does not walk over the borders into the Baltic states. How easy would it be for Russia to simply take Lithuania? The answer is really, really easy. They already run Kaliningrad. And Kaliningrad is actually a Russian territory that exists on the borders of Poland and Lithuania, even though it's not territorially contiguous with Russia. So how easy would it be? Why is Lithuania freaking out? You know why Lithuania is freaking out. And again, Russia has invaded many of these countries before. Russia already took over Crimea, which you can see on this map in the south of Ukraine. Russia has already taken over parts of Georgia, as you can see on this map. Russia has threatened Kazakhstan, which is also in its south. And so checking a Russian territorial expansion is in America's interest, especially if it's not going to cost us actual blood, if we're just spending money on it. So all these things can be true at once, because foreign policy is really complex. I'll be fascinated to see what Tucker actually asks Putin about. I will. But again, the basic idea that America has no interest in what Russia does in Ukraine, even to the extent of spending some money, is pretty wild to me. I'll also point out that many of the people, there are some people who are pretty consistent about not spending money widely. People like Thomas Massie, he's consistent. We don't want to spend a lot of money on anything, including, for example, social welfare programs. Right? Thomas Massie is an actual fiscal conservative. I disagree with him about foreign policy, but at least he's consistent. The problem I have with a lot of the people who are complaining about spending on Ukraine, for example, is that they are perfectly fine with expanding Social Security benefits, Medicare benefits, Medicaid benefits that are bankrupting the United States. In fact, the Congressional Budget Office just released a report that federal interest payments now exceed defense spending for the first time, which is an insane statistic. We are now paying more on our federal debt, just the interest, than we spend on our military budget every year. And that's only going to continue for the rest of time. That effectively, by the way, means that we're actually giving money to China to pay off our interest in order so that we can then spend money on our military, which is really bad. So, you know, the we're spending too much money argument doesn't work if you're also a person who's in favor of $6-7 trillion budgets and is unwilling to talk about the restructuring of America's national debt. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but it really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. Already coming up, the White House wants a border bill. They want to solidify the border, and if you won't do it, they'll open the border more. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Queen Dragons or visit www.queenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Backed by popular demand, fresh and local flower powered by Pinnacle, Shasta County's premier local cultivator. Package fresh and daily with a wide variety and best prices and deals in town. And they can package larger sizes and quantities on site. Available only at the Queen of Dragons Dispensary. Winter hours are Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and they deliver. 530-276-9771.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Five.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So the White House is threatening that they want that border closed. And if you won't close that border, they'll open it even wider. Amazing story out of Fox News last night. And here's what it says. The White House on Thursday announced that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement will soon be forced to reduce operations at the southern border due to lack of funds. So the White House is now threatening that unless they get the border bill that they want, they're going to make it worse at the border. Now, let's be clear about this. There's plenty of funding at the border. All the White House has to do is put back in place Remain in Mexico, and all of these problems go away. All they have to do is reallocate Border Patrol officers away from the processing of illegal immigrants into the American interior and go back to, you know, policing illegal immigrants and then quickly deporting them. That's all they have to do. Joe Biden can do it right now. But instead, he's basically threatening to make the problem worse because he's somebody who deeply cares about the border, you see. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters that because Republicans have not passed the bipartisan border security agreement with funding for Israel and Ukraine, the administration is left with no choice but to pull back. She said during a gaggle on Air Force One yesterday, quote, because congressional Republicans are choosing partisan politics over our national security and refusing to pass the bipartisan national security agreement that includes significant border reforms and funding over the coming weeks, ICE will be forced to reduce operations because of budget shortfalls. Oh, is that what's happening right now? So in the middle of the biggest immigration wave in American history, you're going to have to reduce operations because you don't have enough money. You're only spending $7 trillion a year. I believe you. I don't believe this is just a gambit in order to make the problem worse as a threat. I mean, you want to talk about people who do not like America? It's hard to argue love America when you're basically threatening that unless you get a bill that lets you off the hook for your own border malfeasance, you're going to make the border worse. That's an amazing, amazing statement. It also points out why politically it is so foolish for Republicans in the Senate to be talking about how it's time to get something done. Now, listen, there are things that the Senate could do that would be truly worthwhile, like really tie Joe Biden's hands. If they really tied Joe Biden's hands, that would be worthwhile. But again, I've read the border bill. It does not tie Joe Biden's hands in any serious way. When it comes to implementation of the border bill, the executive branch is still going to be using prosecutorial discretion. The executive branch is still going to be directing asylum officers to let people into the country on their own recognizance. The change in the asylum definition would have to be strictly and coherently applied, which is something Joe Biden has really shown little interest in doing. Remember, the current asylum standard is that you have to show a real fear of going back to your home country to claim asylum. And that has now turned in implementation under Joe Biden into just saying the magic words. Now, normally, if there's a legal burden on me to show, for example, that I have a credible fear of going back to my home country, I'd have to show you a policy procedure, a set of death threats that would make it impossible for me to go back to my home country. Like you're trying to escape Bolivia because you're the target of an actual drug cartel. And you can show them documentation that this is the case. That'd be a good case. But that's not what's happening. People are showing up on the border saying the magic words and being released into the interior. So now all that will happen is they'll say new magic words and be released into the interior. Listen, I understand that senators want to get things done. I understand that they feel like they can get nothing done in the Senate under these polarized circumstances. The polarization is being exacerbated by the executive branch. So that means one of two things. Either the legislative branch has to act in tandem, not to work against one another, but to tie the executive's hands. Either members of the legislative have to be oriented against the executive branch and tie the executive branch's hands, or there won't be any common ground that is worth fighting for. So yesterday, Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, he tweeted out a speech by Senator James Lankford, who's the Oklahoma senator who's been pushing forward the border bill, in which Lankford talks about how problems aren't being solved in the Senate. In order for a problem to be solved in the Senate, the question is, who are you orienting against? You're not orienting against the problem of an open border. That's not what you're orienting against. You're orienting against the problem of an executive branch that does not care about the law, which means that unless you are actively forcing the executive branch into the corner, your bill doesn't do squat. That's the problem. Here was Lankford yesterday.
Madam President, I'm going to vote yes to be able to move on to this bill. So we need a change in law. I understand we have differences, but we've got to sit down together, figure out how we're going to solve problems, because the American people sent us here to do that.
Okay, well, again, the American people sent you to solve the border problem. That problem is not solvable unless you tie the executive's hands. The Democrats aren't going to do it, so no deal. That's effectively what we're talking about right here. All righty, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The Venezuelan illegal immigrant wanted in a shooting in New York's Times Square is in custody. Police say he resides at a temporary shelter at the Stafford Hotel, entered the country illegally last September. Police say he tried to shoot a female security guard after he and two other people stole clothing. He's also a suspect in an armed robbery in the Bronx last month. This comes on the heels of an incident in Times Square where two police officers were attacked by a group of illegals who were then let go by the Democrat DA. House Republicans will make another attempt at impeaching the Homeland Security Secretary next week. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise will return to Congress after undergoing treatment for blood cancer, giving Republicans another vote in the effort to impeach DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas for his lack of action at the southern border. The chamber could vote as soon as Tuesday. A 5.7 magnitude earthquake hits south of the Big Island of Hawaii.
The earthquake was centered 11 miles south of Nalehu, Hawaii, at a depth of 6 miles. It was initially reported by the U.S. Geological Survey as a 6.3 magnitude earthquake, but was later downgraded. The earthquake occurred at 10 a.m. local time. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center said no tsunami was expected. Shaking could be felt in Honolulu, which is on the island of Oahu about 200 miles north. On Big Island, people reported lamps and large objects breaking and homes rattling loudly. I'm Haya Panjwani.
National Weather Service meteorologist Cameron Miller says Wisconsin's first ever tornado in February was recorded Thursday south of Madison.
Around the Evansville area, which is directly south of Madison here, and stayed on the ground for a considerable track here all the way up to Fort Atkinson, which is across Interstate 39 and then more towards south central Wisconsin.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Maybe if you haven't switched to MediShare yet, two big reasons to at least consider it and why it makes so much sense right now. Number one is inflation, which is just affecting everything. It just makes sense to say, okay, where can I actually save? Well, you can save a lot in one fell swoop if you switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 a month. Secondly, your conscience. MediShare members aren't forced to pay for things they don't support or believe in, and that's a big deal for a lot of people right now. They want their money to actually help people. And one more reason, you can trust MediShare. It's been the gold standard for healthcare sharing for more than 30 years. It works, and members love it, too. It has double the member satisfaction rating compared to health insurance. So now's a great time to consider making the switch, and they are very easy to talk to. MediShare has great customer service. You can call now and get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. It's 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE, 844-41-BIBLE.
A manhunt is underway after the fatal shooting of a sheriff's deputy in Tennessee, south of Knoxville.
Authorities are searching for Kenneth Wayne DeHart of Alcoa, a 42-year-old black man described as 6 feet tall, weighing 260 pounds, last seen in Maryville, Tennessee. He faces multiple charges after he allegedly shot and killed Blount County Deputy Greg McGowan Thursday night and wounded another deputy, Blount County Sheriff James Lee Barong.
We had an officer killed tonight on a traffic stop. Another female officer was shot.
The TBI says Hart refused to get out of his SUV. A taser was deployed to no effect. And at some point during the encounter, DeHart fired shots. Police are offering a reward, but warn that the subject should be considered armed and dangerous. Audio courtesy News Nation, I'm Jennifer King.
Two people have died after a small plane tried to make an emergency landing on Florida Interstate 75 Friday afternoon, colliding with a vehicle and bringing traffic to a halt. News and analysis at townhall.com. A new poll says Americans believe air travel is relatively safe in the U.S. despite the recent Alaska Airlines incident over Oregon. Correspondent Donna Warder has that.
About 7 out of 10 U.S. adults who responded to the poll by the Associated Press and the NORC Center for Public Affairs Research say airplanes are a very or somewhat safe method of travel. And about 2 in 10 adults say they have a great deal of confidence that airplanes are being properly maintained and are safe from structural faults. Another half say they have a moderate amount of faith that this is the case. I'm Donna Warder.
Meta has removed Instagram and Facebook accounts run on behalf of Iran leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, this after criticism over support for Hamas after its October 7th attack on Israel. Ticket prices surging for the Super Bowl right now. Tickets for the game going for around $8,600 on average. More at townhall.com.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Today, the Matt Walsh Show was a disastrous day for Joe Biden. First, his DOJ essentially declared him mentally unfit for office. Then he accidentally confirmed the charge by giving the most catastrophic press conference I've ever seen from a president. This was all made worse by the contrast between Biden and the president of Russia, whose interview with Tucker Carlson was posted yesterday as well. Also, the Democrat mayor of a small town scams her constituents out of thousands of dollars, but says that they have no right to question her about it because she's a black woman. A Hollywood actor says that he had to seek therapy to deal with bad reviews. And the internet rallies around a homeless guy, raises almost $500,000 for him, only to find out that he's actually a violent criminal. Shocker. All of that and more today on The Matt Walsh Show. Yesterday marked the clearest and most convincing sign yet that Joe Biden will not be the Democratic Party's nominee for president this year. And that doesn't mean that it definitely won't happen. Nobody could predict the future. But it does mean that nobody with any power in Washington wants Biden to run for office again. That much is very, very clear. The day began with a report prepared by Joe Biden's own DOJ that outlines Biden's mental decline in excruciating detail. And the top line conclusion, as you've probably seen by now, is that the commander-in-chief is so far gone, so detached from reality, so unaware of his own surroundings, that he can't even be charged with a crime. He's not legally responsible for his own conduct at this point. In interviews with special counsel, Biden couldn't remember whether he was vice president in 2009. He couldn't pinpoint the date of his son Beau's death, even within a span of several years. Again, this is the conclusion of a special counsel working for Joe Biden's own Justice Department. Special counsel determined effectively that the president of the United States is too mentally incompetent to be held responsible for his own actions. So this is, to my knowledge anyway, the first time in American history when a president's own DOJ has declared him essentially unfit for office. And yet somehow that wasn't even the worst of the bad news for Joe Biden yesterday. You thought it couldn't, like, it can't possibly get worse than that. It's like something historically awful happening, which is being declared incompetent by your own DOJ. How can it get worse in the same day? But it did. Because on about 10 minutes notice, the White House press office announced a press conference at 7:45 p.m. Now, especially by Biden's standards, this is extremely unusual. It's rare enough for Biden to give a press conference at all. He doesn't often give them, much less an unscheduled one, much less one in the evening. Now, we know that usually he's in bed by 6 o'clock. Now, on top of that, Biden's handlers apparently sent him out to the podium without a list of pre-approved journalists to call on, which again, almost never happens. So Grandpa Joe was left to fend entirely for himself. And naturally, the press conference went pretty much exactly as you would expect it would, or maybe somehow even worse. In fact, I don't think it's hyperbole to say that Biden delivered the single most catastrophic press conference I can remember from a president in my entire lifetime. At no point did he allay any of the concerns about his competence or fitness for office. When that was supposed to be the whole point of the press conference, was that topic. The whole point of the press conference is the topic of his own mental fitness. And they sent him stumbling out there in the evening with no preparation. So instead of reassuring Americans about the president's mental fitness, it did the opposite. He made it abundantly clear that he needs to be removed from office immediately. And all of this is even more confounding when you consider that, again, given the time of day, the impromptu nature of the press conference, the topic that Biden was out there to discuss and the fact that questions were not picked ahead of time, it was pretty much guaranteed to be a disaster. And it's a disaster that the White House walked right into, seemingly on purpose, which makes you ask a lot of questions, which we'll get to. But here's how the press conference began. Watch.
In addition, I know there's some attention paid to some language in the report about my recollection of events. There's even reference that I don't remember when my son died. How in the hell dare he raise that? Frankly, when I was asked the question, I thought to myself, it wasn't any of their damn business. Let me tell you something. Some of you have commented, I wear since the day he died, every single day, the rosary he got from Our Lady of... Every Memorial Day, we hold a service remembering him, attending by friends and family and the people who loved him. I don't need anyone. I don't need anyone to remind me when he passed away or passed away.
So Biden does not deny that he couldn't remember when his son died, nor does he explain how this topic came up exactly. Of course, if you've listened to Biden talk at any point in the past few years, you can assume that he brought it up unprompted to garner sympathy with the special counsel, because that's his usual strategy. But Biden doesn't address any of that. Instead, he just lashes out angrily at the prosecutor, and he mentions a rosary, but he can't complete the story because he doesn't remember where it's from. So not exactly a convincing performance, unless the point is to convince us that Biden is a vegetable, which it certainly succeeded in doing that. But it gets worse. Here's the first question Biden took from Fox's Peter Doocy. Watch.
Thank you, and I'll take some questions.
President Biden, something the special counsel said in his report is that one of the reasons you were not charged is because, in his description, you are a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory.
I'm well-meaning, and I'm an elderly man, and I know what the hell I'm doing. I've been president, and I put this country back on its feet. I don't need his recommendation.
It's How totally bad out. Is your memory, and can you continue as president?
My memory is so bad, I let you speak. That's
what your memory has gotten worse, Mr. President.
My memory is not good. My memory is fine. My memory, take a look at what I've done since I become president. None of you thought I could pass any of the things I got passed. How'd that happen? You know, I guess I just forgot what was going on.
Take a look at the things that, tell me what I've done since I became president, because I can't remember. Take a look at what I've done. Someone take a look and repeat to me, because I have no idea. My memory is so bad, I let you speak, he says. That's the president of the United States saying that, which you almost want to give him credit, because that is a pretty good comeback. It's maybe like you want to give him credit for that's maybe the wittiest thing we've ever heard Biden say, except that this again is actually a symptom of senility, that he has no filter. Like, that's not something that you say out loud. You could tell after he doesn't even play it off like he meant to say it, because he says your memory is so bad I'll let you speak, and then he kind of pauses because it's clear he didn't mean to say that out loud. So even that one thing you want to give him credit for, you can't. He says he's just a well-meaning elderly man who knows what the hell he's doing. And if you ask him about the fact that he can't remember when his son died or when he was vice president, he'll imply that, you know, you should be prevented from speaking. Now, nobody in the room is really laughing at this, including the journalists from left-wing outlets. So they have apparently received the all clear to ask Biden some hard questions for the first time ever, because corporate media doesn't want him to run again. So that's another thing that made the press conference last night so jarring, is that it was a hostile environment from the press towards a Democrat president. We never see that. And that's because they were all given the go-ahead by their puppet masters to actually embarrass this guy, because they want him out. So a CNN reporter named MJ Lee pressed him with a simple and straightforward question about his mental capacity. And instead of calmly answering the question, Joe Biden snapped again. Watch.
Mr. President, for months when you were asked about your age, you would respond with the words, watch me. While many American people have been watching and they have expressed concerns about your age.
That is your judgment. That is your judgment. That is not the judgment of the press.
They express concerns about your mental acuity. They say that you are too old. Mr. President, in December, you told me that you believe there are many other Democrats who could defeat Donald Trump. So why does it have to be you now? What is your answer to that question?
Because I'm the most qualified person in this country to be president of the United States and finish the job I started.
Most qualified person to be president. Well, if that's true, then we're just done. We're done as a country, so might as well just wrap it up. Pack it in if that's true. Thankfully, it isn't. CNN reporter wants to know, of course, if Biden is mentally stable. Biden barks at her. And then the CNN reporter suggests that, maybe isn't the best person to be running for office. And, you know, he doesn't have a convincing answer to that question either. So we are witnessing the end of Biden's legitimacy to the extent that he ever had any to begin with. Whatever shreds of it he may have had are now just gone. They're burned in a fiery flame. Even his once reliable allies in the corporate press have turned on him. And you can see why. At one point in this emergency press conference that was supposedly intended to reassure Americans that the president is mentally competent, Biden refers to the president of Egypt as the president of Mexico.
The conduct of the response in the Gaza Strip has been over the top. I think that, as you know, initially the president of Mexico, Sisi, did not want to open up the gate to allow humanitarian material to get in. I talked to him. I convinced him to open the gate. I talked to Bibi to open the gate on the Israeli side.
Well, you know, Mexico over there, bordering, you know, it's over there in the midst of all this is Mexico. So now the thing is, like, Biden does still have some people in the press that are trying to run cover for him. So they try to claim that it was a slip of the tongue, or he's misspeaking. But that is not a normal mistake to make. Like, why, if you're talking about Egypt, why would Mexico come up? So it's not a slip of the tongue. That's just your brain is misfiring in a way that reveals some real brain damage that he is obviously suffering, which means that, you know, whoever arranged this press conference is either criminally incompetent or they were trying to sabotage Biden's candidacy. Those are really the only two options. This was entirely predictable. Biden essentially confirmed everything the special counsel said. He even called himself an elderly man in the press conference, which, of course, isn't new. We know that he's elderly, but these are not the kinds of things that you should be saying in this situation. Why would you want to put a sound clip out there of you saying, "I am an elderly man"? I mean, now, as I mentioned earlier, the special counsel investigating Biden's handling of classified documents found that, quote, in his interview with our office, Mr. Biden did not remember when he was vice president, forgetting on the first day of the interview when his term ended. And forgetting on the second day of the interview when his term began, he did not remember even within several years when his son Beau died, and his memory appeared hazy when describing the Afghanistan debate that was once so important to him. Among other things, he mistakenly said he had a real difference of opinion with General Carl Eikenberry, when in fact Eikenberry was an ally whom Mr. Biden cited approvingly in his Thanksgiving memo to President Obama. The memo continues, "We have also considered that at trial, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did during our interview with him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Based on our direct interactions with and observations of him, he is someone for whom many jurors will want to identify reasonable doubt. It would be difficult to convince a jury that they should convict him by then a former president well into his 80s of a serious felony that requires a mental state of willfulness." Now, before I go any further, it needs to be mentioned that the reasoning is completely absurd. The only relevant information for the purposes of bringing a criminal prosecution is Biden's mental state when he committed the alleged crimes. And according to the special counsel, as far back as more than a decade ago, Joe Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified documents with classification markings on them. That includes classified documents from his time in the Senate several decades ago. The documents were in his, quote, garage, offices, and basement den in both Virginia and Delaware. Again, Biden retained these documents many years ago. There's no suggestion that he had Alzheimer's or amnesia back then. So if that's a crime, he should be prosecuted for it. If he's not mentally competent to stand trial, that's a defense that his lawyers can raise after charges have been brought. It's not the special counsel's job to lay off on the charges because he's elderly now. It's not their job to say, well, probably the jury will be sympathetic to him, so we're not going to bring charges. How often do you hear that from a prosecutor? We're not going to bring these charges because we figured ahead of time that the jury will find him sympathetic. What? Now, this is especially absurd given that the DOJ is going after Donald Trump for allegedly storing classified documents, even though Donald Trump, as president, had the authority to declassify whatever he wanted. Not to mention, if being elderly is a defense, well, then Trump is elderly, too, and is only a few years younger. Now, but at this point, no one is surprised by the fact that the DOJ is prosecuting Trump for a crime while giving Biden a pass for committing the exact same crime. That was always a given. What is surprising, again, is why Joe Biden's handlers let him take questions last night under these circumstances. It's almost like they were setting him up for disaster. That's especially true given the contrast like, of all nights to do this, last night was the worst possible night. Not that there could be a good night, because of the contrast between Biden's remarks and the interview last night between Tucker Carlson and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Now, Putin spoke with Tucker Carlson for 2 hours, uninterrupted. In response to a question about why Russia invaded Ukraine, Putin recounted the history of his country in exacting, excruciating detail going back centuries. It was quite dry, but it was, you know, informative and it was dense. And Putin was clearly lucid and clear thinking. You know, he was more than capable of sitting for a lengthy adversarial interview with a journalist from a foreign country. And that's remarkable, given the fact that, you know, for the past year, the media has told us that Putin is sick and frail and senile and like dying of cancer and he's in hiding. That's obviously not the case. But most of that is the case with our president. We're told that Biden isn't competent enough to be prosecuted, but is competent enough to have the most important job in the world for another 5 years. He's immune from committing crimes due to his lack of mental capacity, but he can have nuclear codes, apparently. I mean, it's laughable, and everybody knows it. They know that Biden has lost his mind, and now even the DOJ has confirmed it. It is a full-blown constitutional crisis if he stays in office. That's what we're facing. We have a president that everybody knows now is senile. Now, of course, the double-edged sword is that it's much better politically for Trump if Biden stays in. Like, swapping Biden out for somebody younger who can speak in coherent sentences would make things more challenging for Trump. But, you know, politics are really a secondary concern at this point. The truth is that we simply cannot have a president who is not only senile, but is known to the world and to our adversaries to be senile. You just can't have it. It's like, it's a danger to everybody in this country. He needs to resign. And if he won't resign, he needs to be removed from office. He could be a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory who lives out the remainder of his days off in obscurity somewhere, far away from the levers of power. I mean, the rest of us, people who intend to live in this country long after Biden is gone, which one way or another, he'll be gone pretty soon, we simply cannot tolerate having somebody like this in the White House any longer. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Life insurance. What's your excuse for putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think your work coverage is enough? There's a lot of excuses for putting off life insurance, but one big reason why you shouldn't. If the unexpected were to happen to you, who would pay the mortgage, the kids' tuition, and all the other bills? In a time of grief, the last thing you would want is for your family to have to sell the house and struggle to survive financially. At Ethos, we could get you covered in just 10 minutes, and boom, family protected. Rates can increase the longer you wait, so no more excuses. Take 10 minutes today and discover the modern way to get the life insurance coverage you need. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency that can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? We can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents or having to waste time showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your house to foreclosure. If you have equity in your home, we'll buy your home and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call now before your situation gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just need anymore and get the cash you need today. Call this number now.
Call 800-527-4903. That's 800-527-4903. 800-527-4903. Again, 800-527-4903.
Paid for by Airtime Media.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. New York Post reports on a Hollywood actor who started counseling because his movie got bad reviews. He was eternally scarred. Eternally. Okay, well, it's a play on words, I see. Actor and comedian Kumail Nanjiani had to seek professional help after reading all the negative reviews of his Marvel film, Eternals. The reviews were bad, and I was too aware of it. Nanjiani, 45, said on an appearance on a podcast. It was really, really hard because Marvel thought the movie was going to be really, really, really well reviewed. So they lifted the embargo early and put it in some fancy movie festivals. And they sent us on a big global tour to promote the movie right as the embargo lifted. He continued, I think there was some weird soup in the atmosphere for why that movie got slammed so much. And I think not much of it has to do with the actual quality of the movie. It was really hard, and that was when I thought it was unfair to me and unfair to my wife, Emily, and I can't approach my work this way anymore. Some S has to change, so I started counseling. I still talk to my therapist about that. So I guess this is another I told you so moment. This is exactly the problem with therapy, as I've tried to argue. And it's not that therapy is always a bad thing, okay? It's not that everyone who's in counseling right now is wasting their time or doing more harm to themselves than good. That's not the case for everybody. There are exceptions. There are exceptions to this problem with therapy that I've described. But in many cases, this is therapy. Now, it's usually not Hollywood actors, but it's, although I'm sure every Hollywood actor is in therapy, which probably tells you everything you need to know. We would just assume the number of Hollywood actors in therapy is probably like 98% or something or more. But very often, it's someone who has experienced a relatively minor setback. You got bad reviews on your movie. Okay, like, it sucks. It's hard, but it's not a big deal. So you got someone who's dealing with a relatively minor setback, someone who's just dealing with normal human things, criticism, rejection, failure, normal human things, and then goes to therapy and dwells on it and wallows in self-pity, makes it into a much bigger deal than it really is. And all of a sudden, you start with a stubbed toe, and next thing you know, you're in therapy, digging back into your past and complaining that your mom didn't pay enough attention to you when you were a child. So when Kumail goes to the therapist and cries because his crappy movie got bad reviews, what does the therapist say? Because here's what the therapist should say in that circumstance. Well, Kumail, people didn't like your movie because it was bad. You're a grown man. You need to be able to deal with criticism. Get over yourself. Stop pouting like a little baby and move on with your life. And I swear to you, if you come back to me again crying about bad reviews, I will punch you in the throat. That's what I will do. That's what the therapist should say. Like, words to that effect, okay? Their own variation of it, maybe leaving out the violent threat. But everything else, you could take or leave that part of it. Everything else, that's what the therapist, that's the correct thing to say. It's not to say, well, let's sit down and talk. Oh, well, let's work through that. No, let's not work through it. I'm not going to work through that with you. Get out of here with that. It does not rise to the level of a therapy session. You're wasting my time. You are wasting my time. Get the hell out of my office. But the point is that there's nothing a therapist can or should try to do for somebody like that, because you do just need to get over it. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
25. Advertisement sponsored by Allied Injury Group, not available in all states. This important message from Allied Injury Group reminds you that if you or someone you love was injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, you deserve financial compensation for your medical expenses, lost wages, pain, and suffering. Don't rely on insurance companies to look out for you. If you haven't spoken to an attorney, call our legal experts now. Work accident, truck accident, collision with an uninsured driver, or a slip and fall. Allied Injury Group has helped clients win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. They're available 24/7 to take your call and fight for you. Remember, if you or someone you love suffered injuries in an accident that wasn't your fault, like being struck by a drunk driver, a collision with an 18-wheeler, or a victim of workplace negligence or more, get the financial compensation you deserve. Call Allied Injury Group for a free consultation now.
Call 800-781-1815. That's 800-781-1815. Again, 800-781-1815.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. So I want to talk about this. This is I've had this for a few days, and it's a headline. This is from The Blaze. An article came out a few days ago. And the headline is, sure, the left has Taylor Swift, but we have cat turd. Now, let me just say right off the bat, I've got nothing against The Blaze. I love The Blaze. I used to work there. They're great. I like everyone there. They do fantastic work. And as for cat turd, you know, he's a conservative Twitter account, if you didn't know, and many people don't, which is part of the problem here. But I got nothing against him. It's a fine account. I don't follow the account, but it gets retweeted in my feed all the time. And it's fine. I got no issues there at all. With all that said, I disagree stridently with this article. And in fact, I think it captures so much of what is wrong with modern conservatism these days. So let me just read a little bit of this. It's a bit of this article that is not meant to be self-deprecating in any way. This is not satire. At first, I thought it was. When I read the headline, oh, we don't need Taylor Swift, we have cat turd. I honestly thought at first I just glanced at it. I thought it was a pretty funny Babylon Bee headline. It's not. It's 100% serious. So you know, the article begins talking for a while about Taylor Swift and the NFL and the whole Swift-Kelsey NFL storyline that people have been so fascinated by, and it's all culminating in the Super Bowl this weekend. And then the writer, Albin Sadar, gets to this. He says, yes, the NFL has gone woke, and the upcoming Super Bowl is appealing to many in that peculiar camp. I, for one, will be tuning out, but I'm sure things will work out for the best. It will at least be an exciting, close enough game, and the result will wrap up a wonderful season-long narrative. So, where are the stories from those on the right? Why are we always playing defense? Where is our offense? Okay, so far, so good. Those are good questions. Where are our stories? People can complain about Taylor Swift and the NFL all they want, but the simple fact of the matter is that these are stories and these are people that captivate the public. Public loves the NFL. A lot of people in public love Taylor Swift. I don't like Taylor. It doesn't matter. People are interested in this. So we can complain about that on and on and on. But what do we have? Like, we could say to the public, oh, don't pay attention to that. That's stupid. But what else are we giving them to pay attention to instead? What are we saying? Oh, no, that's dumb. Here's something great. Right? You don't need that for entertainment. You don't need to pay. We got this. This is so much better. So where is that? And that's the question that the writer's asking. It's a good question. The problem is that he settles on cat turd, the Twitter account. We have a Twitter account named after feline fecal matter that trolls the left. And so much better than Taylor Swift. So he continues. Recently, I watched Tucker Carlson interview the internet sensation on X, who goes by the moniker Cat Turd. Cat Turd, of course, is not his real name, like William or Mike or Carl Cat Turd. Nonetheless, he has an interesting story about how he went from being a drug-using, tie-dye-wearing, honest-to-goodness hippie to championing the common-sense viewpoint on the right. What happened? While working construction, Cat Turd and his builder buddies would listen to Rush Limbaugh on the radio. Because he overwhelmingly agreed with Rush and his arguments against the left, Cat Turd soon came to realize that he himself was a conservative. Cat Turd decided to start tweeting his own opinions and before long found himself internet famous. His tweets even got under the skin of the high and mighty, such as former U.S. Representative Adam Kinzinger. Now, why would a relatively small player in the culture wars be used here as an example of pushback against the Taylor Swifts of the world? Yes, why? Well, he says, I think it comes down to what's going on behind the scenes. The left controls all the big messaging outlets known as the mainstream media, but the right seems to have a whole army of rabble-rousers behind the scenes in social media. In political days of yore, Nixon in the 1970s, the term silent majority referred to the folks who were a strong, powerful, motivating force in the culture, but did not have a media megaphone. Something very similar is stirring today. Bold, outspoken champions on the right may have been shoved to the sidelines, but add to their continued influence rising stars like Charlie Kirk and Glenn Beck and Eric Metaxas. Let's just say that America's personal 2024 Super Bowl, this year's presidential election, is far from played out. Be encouraged. Our movement is grassroots, and we can build on the conservative clawing and scratching of a guy named Cat Turd. Anything is possible. Okay. So there's a few problems here. First, to state the obvious, comparing Cat Turd's influence on the culture to Taylor Swift is like comparing the light emitted by a desk lamp to the sun. I mean, these are two things that exist on such vastly different planes. Okay, these are such vastly different planes of existence that the comparison is incoherent. I mean, it's like saying, it's like going into a cave with a dying flashlight and saying, "We don't need the sun. We got this thing. Who needs the sun when you got this?" And this is obviously the case, no matter how you feel about Taylor Swift. This is the other thing we have to be able to do as conservatives. We have to be able to like analyze these things, even when they involve people we don't like. You don't have to like her. I don't care if you like her or not. It's just an objective question about cultural power and influence. And as far as that goes, Taylor Swift is selling out stadiums worldwide, and Cat Turd I would be surprised if he could fill a conference room, you know, at the Cincinnati Marriott, which is not a knock against him. It's not. His right-wing Twitter fame is a very narrow, narrow lane to be in. And what this all sort of papers over is that we have a real problem on the right. Our problem is that we don't have a Taylor Swift. We don't have anyone close to her. Like, our Taylor Swift is not Cat Turd, okay? It's not anybody. All of the cultural figures who are closest to Taylor Swift in terms of relevance and impact on the culture are all also on the left, and most of them are even further to the left than she is. And these are the people who are making culture. So on the right, for the most part, historically, we've been the cultural commentators. So the left makes the culture, and then we comment on it. We are commenting on the things that they are making and doing. But commenting on culture will never move people and never influence people, will never inspire and drive people the way that the culture itself will, obviously. Now, this is something that we want to, as you know, change at the Daily Wire. And we are working on that. It's hard. It's extremely hard. You know, it's a very hard thing to do. Everything's stacked against you. If you want to go, when you've had this dynamic for so many decades of the left makes culture, we comment on it, to then say, you know what, we want to get in the culture making business, it's a very hard thing to do. And it's a long haul, you know, and it's difficult. And we are very, very far away from Taylor Swift at this point. That's just the reality of the situation. You have to be honest about it. Deluding ourselves about it, telling ourselves that we don't need to make culture and we don't need to tell interesting stories. And we don't need to be truly influential because we have conservative Twitter accounts is just an insane level of self-delusion. And these stories, you know, he says, well, this is a fascinating story. It's a story about how a construction worker decided to start a Twitter account and complain about Biden. It's like, that's not a fascinating story. I'm sorry. It's just not. That's not a story that's going to grab people by their hearts and speak to them at a deep visceral level and they're going to find fascinating. It's just not. And 95% of the time when those stories are being told, it's being told by the left. That, again, it's just the reality. There's nothing wrong with commentary. It's what I do for a living. It's what I'm doing at this very moment. I'm making commentary about commentary. I understand the inception levels of that we're dealing with here. But I just want to start with honesty. And we can't lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that cultural commentary is a sufficient replacement for cultural creation. And you know, honestly, even the commentary, you know, not all cultural commentary is made equal. Commentary can be important. I certainly hope so. I wouldn't do it for a living if it wasn't. But even a lot of the commentary on the right barely rises to the level of actual commentary. Because to do commentary is to offer insight, analysis. It's to have a unique perspective, saying interesting things about what's happening. That's commentary. And again, it has a place. It has value. But a lot of what we call commentary on the right is really just sort of this banal, bland regurgitation. It's this stuff that's carefully calibrated to repeat back to the audience what it already thinks. And there's really no attempt to say anything interesting at all or to take any chances at all. Another problem the conservatives have, it's some of that is just ingrained. You know, we're conservative. That's why we call ourselves conservative. So taking risks, you know, to actually make interesting art, you know, if you want to get into the culture making business, you got to take risks. It requires a willingness to take risks. Conservatives historically are not the best at that. And then you find that even with the commentary, so much of the conservative commentary, it's as safe as could be. It's like, this is the lane you're supposed to be in. These are the topics you're supposed to talk about. These are the things you're supposed to say. And for a large number, though not all, of the conservative commentators, they just stay right in that lane, you know, never venturing outside of it because that's a risk. So those are all things we need to be honest about and we need to change. So that maybe one day down the line, we can say, you know, we don't need Taylor Swift. We have fill in the blank. But we're not there yet. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Your vacation is over. But the worst part, the long drive home from Sacramento. Unless you chose to fly from Redding, at Redding Regional Airport, your takeoff and landing are close to home, with quick check-ins and nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. You can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Next time, skip the drive to and from Sacramento. Fly with ease and convenience from Redding Regional Airport.
Hello, Northern California. This is Roland from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory, and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairers will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Riverfront Playhouse presents The Last 5 Years. Written and composed by Jason Robert Brown, directed by Lauren Stanfield with musical director Cheyenne Hara, this musical chronicles the 5-year relationship of a couple with a unique narrative perspective of each character revealing their experiences in opposite chronological order. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the score, Reading, and At the Door. The Last 5 Years, January 26th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse, sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friends and co-hosts Ron Lim and Lenny Matthews for our show Ask Elle right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Brought to you by KNS Staffing Solutions.
530-605-4517.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
So the CVS we were just at only had one of the medications, but the one he really needs, they don't have it, and he's in pain. He literally cannot walk with me. So I told him, like, stay here. I'm going to walk to the other CVS, and I'm going to see if they got it.
So I made it to the other CVS, and the guy was so nice. He gave us a heavy discount. He was like, I fought a good discount. And then I'm waiting for his prescription to get refilled. So I got to sit here and wait.
Guys, I'm so happy they had his medicine.
Okay, so she gets the medicine, brings it to him, rents him a hotel room. All very nice, very generous. Now, of course, I always have to be that guy, so I do feel compelled to point out that the purest and most meaningful kind of charity is the kind that you just do for somebody without extensively documenting your generosity and posting it on social media, right? And you think about the process that goes into making a video like this. You have to film every step of the way and then sit down and edit it and everything. So my ability to be inspired by charitable actions that go viral on the internet is always somewhat hampered by the fact that they usually go viral because the person who did the charitable thing has made sure to alert the world to the fact. Like when you go to the world and say, hey, world, check out this great thing I did for this person. Check it out. Look at this. So maybe this woman would have done all that even if she didn't have a TikTok account and wasn't filming it. But unfortunately, we know that wholesome content is a lucrative category of content on TikTok and elsewhere. And for a lot of people who post that kind of content, it is only content. They're doing it because it is content. Now, I don't know if that's the case for this woman. Let's give her the benefit of the doubt and assume optimistically that it isn't. Let's assume that the content was a secondary concern and she was really just primarily concerned with helping her fellow man. Let's assume that she does this all the time for people and she just happened to film it this one time. Maybe that's true. Let's just assume that it is. Well, sadly, even with that assumption, this story does not have a happy ending. A GoFundMe was started for the homeless guy who we now know is named Alonzo Douglas Hebron. And it raised over $400,000 in the span of a few days. So this man was well on his way to becoming a millionaire. But then the other shoe, as it so often does, dropped. Watch.
New questions tonight about a GoFundMe page that has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for a man who is experiencing homelessness in D.C. The main question, what happens to all that money if it's determined that he is a danger to the community? Fox 5's Bob Barnard live in Northwest now to try and help us sort this all out. Hi, Bob.
Hey there, Marina. D.C. police say Alonzo, the homeless man seen in that TikTok video, is the same man who attacked a woman 4 years ago outside this church here. D.C. police say Alonzo Hebron walked up to that woman sleeping outside the church, both of them homeless, put a scarf over her head, and you see, repeatedly punched her. He was charged in the case. As far as we know, most recently was in a halfway house last summer. He escaped, was brought back by U.S. Marshals. He's now obviously back out on the streets. Here now, the victim of that attack and people reacting to the dilemma, what now to do about all that money?
I'm speechless. I do not understand how a human being can act like this. He's a sociopath. He does not have a sense of remorse.
So this poor homeless man who just wanted some tea only 4 years ago, apparently, barbarically assaulted a random woman while she was sleeping. And for those listening to the audio podcast, you should know this was a vicious, brutal assault. It's on video. You can see it. And he pummels this defenseless woman over and over again in the head. And this was just his most recent assault. A few years before that, he stabbed somebody in the neck with a screwdriver. And he has multiple other assaults and violent crimes on his rap sheet. So he should not have been on the streets at all, clearly. He should have been drinking his tea behind bars. You know, he needs a jail cell, not a hotel room. He's a danger to the community. Certainly the last thing he needs is $400,000 from GoFundMe, so it's a good thing that they didn't release the money, and I hope that they don't. But, you know, this is very often what GoFundMe is all about. Of course, these crowdfunding sites are used for worthy causes all the time, but they're also places where a bunch of strangers can get swept up in the emotions of the latest viral charity case. It's a way for people to make themselves feel good, you know, feel like philanthropists for donating a few dollars to someone who, for all they know, is not remotely deserving of the money, and who, for all they know, may be more hurt by it than helped. Yes, it may be well-meaning. Yes, you're trying to help. Yes, there are certainly worse ways you could waste your $15 GoFundMe contribution, but there are people around you in your actual life, your family, friends, community members, who could use that help. So just tossing money at some stranger you know absolutely nothing about with no clue how the money will be spent is foolish. It's especially foolish when the random person is homeless, okay? This is the part that people struggle with the most. Every time that I get a little real about the homeless problem and about the types of people who generally end up homeless, I'm accused of being cruel and uncaring and mean and everything else. But unfortunately, my point is proven time and time again. Now, sure, there are decent, sane, normal, good, hardworking people who fall in hard times, end up in desperate situations, and wind up on the street. That does happen. But it is rare. It is very rare. Most of the time, in most cases, people are homeless for a reason. There's a reason why they are homeless. And the reason is that they are some combination of utterly dysfunctional, self-destructive, insane, and drug addicted. And many who fall into that category also happen to be dangerous criminals. In fact, watching that video, when you go the original TikTok video, you see this woman in the hotel room with the guy, like setting it up in the hotel room that she rented for him. And, you know, I'm even though I know that it worked out because the video was posted, I'm still cringing watching that. Like, this is incredibly dangerous. You went in with this man, this homeless man, into a hotel room? I mean, this is an incredibly dangerous thing to do. She is lucky that she's still alive. And if you have any concept of what homelessness is and who most of these people are, you would never do that. So if you're giving $400,000 to a random homeless guy, the chances that you're throwing money at a crazy, violent drifter is pretty high. And even if he isn't crazy and or isn't violent, it's still going to be a disastrously bad idea in nearly every case to give large sums of money to a homeless person. As I've tried to explain many times, most of these people aren't homeless simply because they have no money and they have no home. Okay? And anytime I say that, there's always the idiots who laugh. What do you mean? What do you mean they're not homeless because they don't have a home? That's the definition of homeless. No, you morons. Give them money and a home, and they'll be homeless again 15 minutes later. Do you understand that? So that clearly shows that the problem is not simply they don't have money and a home. Give them money. Most of these people on the street have been given lots of money. Depending on where they are, panhandling is lucrative. Many of them make more money than people that work minimum wage and have been living in apartments. You know, you can make hundreds of dollars a day doing that. Where does the money go? Where does it go? Does it the magical money fairy come and take it? No, they spend it on drugs is what they do. That's why they're still homeless. They're not stashing it away and hanging on to it. What's the last, of all the homeless people, how many of them have a stash somewhere of money that they're keeping and they're saving so they can start a bank account, you know, or they can get a hotel room at least? Like, how many do you think? Almost none. And even the most rudimentary understanding of human nature makes all of this obvious. But many people today, despite being humans and having a nature, still somehow have little understanding of human nature. They don't get it. I don't understand how you could not get it. They've been indoctrinated into a deluded, cartoonish view of the human condition. It's a view that lacks the basic intuitiveness that you would expect any member of the human species to have about their own species. But this is what modern society has become. Which is why all those GoFundMe donors are somehow surprised to learn that the guy who was living on the streets and who they tried to suddenly put into the top 5% of all income earners is actually a dangerous predator. That should not be a surprise twist ending. That should not surprise you, but it does. And that's why everybody involved in this ill-fated fundraiser is today canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Israel releases more plans on its Rafah strategy.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's ordered the military to prepare a plan to evacuate civilians from Rafah ahead of an expected Israeli invasion of the densely populated southern Gaza city. The announcement comes after heavy international criticism, including from the US, of Israeli intentions to move ground forces into the city. Rafah borders Egypt and is now home to hundreds of thousands of people living in sprawling tent camps after fleeing fighting elsewhere in Gaza. Israel says that after more than 4 months of war, Rafah's the last remaining Hamas stronghold in Gaza. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
President Biden won't be charged in the classified documents case, but the special counsel's report did not do him any favors either.
The good news for the president is that the special counsel did not recommend criminal charges. The bad news for him is all the details. Mr. Biden was described as an elderly man with a poor memory, and photographs show the top secret documents were kept in a cardboard box in the president's garage, surrounded by household items. The report may prove to be politically damaging to the president as he tries to differentiate himself from Donald Trump's classified documents case. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Former President Trump has promised thousands of National Rifle Association event this week that no one will ever lay a finger on their firearms. Mr. Trump was in Pennsylvania for a speech before the group, headlining the NRA's presidential forum Friday. A new congressional report accuses U.S. venture capital firms of funding tech companies linked to the Chinese military. The House Select Committee on China released a report Thursday accusing Qualcomm Ventures and other firms of investing at least $3 billion to the companies. More at townhall.com.
A toast to our new college grad who fills us with so much joy, almost as much as when we're in our RV. Oh, the world is your oyster, kiddo, and ours too. Now that we're covered with Progressive, Dad and I can hop in our RV anytime we want. Might even splurge on a retractable awning. Ooh, look out. Sorry, what was I talking about?
Protect your loved one with an RV policy from Progressive. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you could save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
More foods recalled in the wake of a deadly outbreak of Listeria food poisoning.
And the items could be part of a Super Bowl Sunday party menu. 7-layer bean dip, chicken enchiladas, cilantro salad dressing, and taco kits sold at Costco, Trader Joe's, and Albertsons are part of the growing recalls of products made by Rizzo Lopez Foods. Federal health officials advised to throw away any affected products and thoroughly clean surfaces the food may have touched. They're also urging checking the FDA's table of recalled foods. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
As Lunar New Year celebrations kick off in the Bay Area, a proposal is being considered to install a statue of martial arts legend Bruce Lee in San Francisco's Chinatown. The San Francisco Arts Commission currently reviewing and deciding which monuments and memorials will be put up in the city. Reports say O.J. Simpson's battling prostate cancer and is receiving chemo. Simpson spoke to paparazzi. He denied rumors that he's in hospice care. News and analysis at townhall.com. California Governor Gavin Newsom is sending prosecutors to Oakland.
The move to help crack down on rising crime in the San Francisco Bay Area city, where robberies in broad daylight have been getting national attention. Newsom said he would deploy 120 California Highway Patrol officers to Oakland to assist with targeted crackdowns on criminal activity, including vehicle and retail theft. Newsom did not say how many prosecutors would be sent. The city of 400,000 people is seeing a spike in violent crimes, even though crime in other California urban centers is falling. John Scott reporting.
Ford Motor Company getting rid of its driver assist parallel parking feature on new vehicles. Officials say very few people are using it, and removing the feature will save the company $10 million. Average credit card balance now, more than $6,300, an all-time high. Total credit card debts reached a record $1.13 trillion. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tired of that long drive home from Sacramento? Try Redding Regional Airport, where you can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. RDD is located just down the road. Skip the drive, enjoy quick check-ins, and travel with ease and convenience. Getting where you want to go is easier than ever with nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. Enjoy that vacation you've been dreaming about. Fly with ease and convenience from Redding Regional Airport.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Stressing today is attacking the special counsel, Robert Hur, and attacking Donald Trump. That's what the media is doing today. And I honestly, I was kept writing to myself, no way out, no way out, no way out. You know, like Gene Wilder in The Producers in 1968 with his blankie, No way out. There is no way out of this. There are only two possibilities here. That they declared in the special counsel report that he is not psychologically, mentally up to the task of standing trial, even though he clearly committed crimes, and they said that, and he violated the law. He is in a bad place, a bad position. But they're not going to prosecute him because he's mentally not up to the task. So now we're being told, well, he's not up to the task of facing trial for violating a variety of laws having to do with classified documents, which he shared, by the way, sharing classified documents. What is President Trump on trial there for again? I'm trying to reconcile the two systems of justice that we have in the United States. This is about a lot of things, this story. It's about a lot of things. These developments of yesterday, the Robert Hur special counsel report that was made available yesterday afternoon. And we immediately began going through it. I was down at Newsmax at the time and on a Zoom call, you know, on a Zoom call with my friends in New York at Newsmax. And we started going through and the great producer, Carly Comito, she was the first one to get a hold of it and immediately started reading aloud, and we were just guffawing. We were just flabbergasted by this. This is about many things. It's about Joe Biden's brain, which is broke. She's a broke. Now, for how long have we known that? For how long have we been talking about that here on our humble radio broadcast? Long, long time. We went and looked it up yesterday, Michael Piercy and I. It was on 7-Eleven last year, right? I posted a video saying Joe Biden will not be the candidate for the Democrat Party in 2024. And I have some of that I want to share with you today. But this is about Joe Biden's brain being broke, which we already knew. It's about two systems of justice, one for Republicans under this corrupt, filthy Justice Department, which isn't, you know, we got another one. The Justice Department isn't. See, there we go. The Democratic Party isn't. Common sense isn't. And, of course, friendly fire isn't. But our Justice Department isn't justice. It does not represent justice. It represents the Democrat Party and the American left and the permanent bureaucracy. It is a tragedy what has happened to the United States of America. I've never lived in such a corrupt country in any time in my life, and I didn't even move. I just stayed right here, and the country became corrupt around me. It's an extraordinary thing to see. But back to Joe Biden, because it's about the corruption of the press. It's about which has been lying to us for years about Joe Biden and about Donald Trump and Russian collusion and the Hunter Biden laptop and so many other things, and Hillary Clinton destroying 33,000 emails with hundreds of classified emails in there. But pay no attention to that. We have two systems of justice, the front of the Supreme Court, the entrance to the Supreme Court. In the relief, it says equal justice under law. And I think that should be modified. We should put a question mark on that just to update it for the 21st century in the United States of America. But we have two systems of justice. We have a corrupt news media. We have a brain-dead president. And we are lied to more than we've ever been lied to before. As Soviet author Elena Gorokova wrote in her book, A Mountain of Crumbs, the rules are simple. They lie to us. We know they're lying. They know we know they're lying, but they keep lying to us. And that's where we are. They've Sovietized the United States of America to the point of absurdity. Just absolutely, absolutely extraordinary. By the way, another Trump administration official, Peter Navarro, is being ordered to report to jail because the left is here. And the left all over the world jails their political enemies. And they do it with two different standards of justice. And we now officially have that in the United States of America. And I do not say that with glee. I say it with sadness. It's a tragedy what has happened, what the left has done to the United States of America. Absolutely tragic. And we live in a very corrupt country. Our news media is the key to the corruption, to the corrupt success of the Democrat Party. It genuinely is. We are, and I want to hear from everybody today. We are at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Now, the report is quite remarkable in so many ways, but we're being told that he is not psychologically, mentally up to the task of standing trial, and that any jury would take pity on Joe Biden to the point where he could never be convicted. No jury with any compassion at all would convict Joe Biden because he can't remember anything. He doesn't remember when he was vice president. He doesn't remember when he began, when he was first vice president. He doesn't remember his last day as vice president. He doesn't remember. We hear about his son Beau dying in Iraq. His son Beau didn't die in Iraq. He served there for a while as a lawyer in the Army, and God bless him. And he came home, and years later, he died of brain cancer, and Joe Biden has been getting this wrong. I've been pointing it out. ABC News has not. The Washington Post has not been pointing it out. But they found Robert Hur in the special counsel report, hundreds of pages long, naturally, that he is not mentally up to the task of standing trial, and no jury would be so mean as to convict him. But at the same time, he is well enough to be president of the United States of America. Now, the special counsel didn't say that, but the Democrat Party, and that means the news media, which is just filthy corrupt, they're saying this too. They're telling us that he's just fine to be president of the United States, even though he's got CRS. He's got CRS. You know CRS? Can't remember stuff. Can't remember stuff is his condition. And he doesn't remember when he was vice president. That's kind of a big deal. You know? You see this sometimes in people with dementia. Can't remember, you know, was I in the Vietnam War, the Korean War? Was I, you know, how many times was I married? And it's that point. And he's not up to being president. How many times? I said it yesterday. I said it day before yesterday because he keeps proving it. Just in the last week, he couldn't come up with who Hamas was when he was talking about the Middle East, right? He told us that he met with François Mitterrand, the French president who died decades ago, when he was president of the United States, when in reality he met with Emmanuel Macron, Macron and fromage. And then he was confused about which German chancellor he met with, and he said he met with Helmut Kohl, who was German chancellor in the 1980s when Ronald Reagan was president. And Joe Biden was around then, but he wasn't president of the United States. He was a senator then, however. Not sure he remembers that, but it was revealed that his mental condition is so tragic that he could not stand trial and that no jury would convict him. But the jury in this case is us. And the news media is doing all the downfield blocking for Joe Biden and the Democrats that you would expect from them. So he's not fit to stand trial, but he is fit to be president of the United States. So unfit that he can't be held accountable, right? But he's fit enough to occupy the Oval Office and be the leader of the free world and the president of the United States. He said that the president of Mexico was al-Sisi, who is the president of Egypt. And he was talking to the president of Mexico, he said, about opening the border to Gaza. Mexico is not connected to Gaza, but somebody put out a map last night that shows Mexico as being where Egypt is and the Sinai to the south of Israel, because it's very mockable. And now there's talk of invoking the 25th Amendment to remove the president of the United States because he is not up to the task of being president. I've got Dr. Marty McCary for you of Johns Hopkins University, great medical professional, a medical doctor, and an honest person, and talking about Joe Biden's mental condition. But this is unlike anything we've ever seen in the United States of America, certainly since television came along. It's true that Democrat progressive and racist Democrat progressive Woodrow Wilson, who's entombed in the National Cathedral here in Washington, D.C., he had a stroke while he was president, and he was out of commission for a year. And his wife, Mrs. Wilson, took over the presidency, and the news media covered it up. All right? FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was in a wheelchair, and the media covered it up because that wasn't a big winner at that time. And, you know, it's quite remarkable. But I got to tell you, it's over for Joe Biden. This is his presidency is over. According to the report, he willfully took classified documents, and he shared, after he was vice president, classified documents. And he is guilty of the crimes, and that's right there in the special counsel's report. But they decided that they would not prosecute him. And the media is like, hey, there are headlines from fake news at MSNBC, and Joe Biden came out and said it last night, too, that the key and the only thing that matters is no charges for me. Yeah, but it's because you are mentally impaired to the point where no jury would convict you. Just extraordinary. Also yesterday, a big victory for, it looks like, President Trump and the Supreme Court. Looks like he's going to skate to success in the Colorado. You know, the leftists there are looking to ban, oh no, it's a Republican. Yeah, the leftists there are looking to ban President Trump, bar him from the presidential ballot on Election Day. Just like we see in, we see it in Brazil now. There's a new one. In Brazil, they're doing that. In Venezuela, they're doing that. In Senegal, they're doing that. And in Vladimir Putin's Russia, they're doing that. They're banning opposition leaders from the ballot. And now the left in the United States is doing that. These are not liberals. This is the left, the international left. They are here to destroy our country. And they're making some headway, too. Also, President Trump won handily in the caucuses in Nevada and in the Virgin Islands. In Nevada, he got 99.1% of the vote. 99. Ryan Blinkley. What? No, Binkley. Ryan, who's ever heard of him? Ryan Binkley. He got the other four votes or something. Amazing stuff. So we've got that going on today. That's a lot, I think. And I do think that it is the end of Joe Biden's presidency. We are at 888-630-9625. The 25th Amendment. Should he resign? People were taking bets last night when he announced he's coming up. Will he step aside? Is it President Kamala Harris the Great? Would that be the headline in the Washington Post today? Well, not yet, but you know, a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory is waking up in the White House today. He's not sure which German chancellor he'll be meeting with. And will they hold a press conference today, which they normally do with foreign leaders?
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Temperatures are low, but demand is high. You need Indeed. Their all-in-one platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with things I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of the disease called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, straight lines seem wavy, like when looking at a door frame. For others, blurry or missing spots can make it hard to read or see loved ones' faces. Many have trouble seeing in low light, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you've been diagnosed with AMD and notice vision changes, don't wait. Talk to your eye doctor about GA today. Learn more at gawon'twait.com. That's gawon'twait.com.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC.
You can live out your MasterChef dream when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This year, Dell Technologies wants to help you do amazing things with their best tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, powered by Intel Core processors, and more. Plus, curate your dream setup with great deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to leading-edge technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Again, that's Dell.com/deals.
New year, new hiring needs? Indeed's end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit.
Advertisement sponsored by Allied Injury Group, not available in all states.
This important message from Allied Injury Group reminds you that if you or someone you love was injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, you deserve financial compensation for your medical expenses, lost wages, pain, and suffering. Don't rely on insurance companies to look out for you. If you haven't spoken to an attorney, call our legal experts now. Work accident, truck accident, collision with an uninsured driver, or a slip and fall. Allied Injury Group has helped clients win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. They're available 24/7 to take your call and fight for you. Remember, if you or someone you love suffered injuries in an accident that wasn't your fault, like being struck by a drunk driver, a collision with an 18-wheeler, were a victim of workplace negligence or more, get the financial compensation you deserve. Call Allied Injury Group for a free consultation now.
Call 800-781-1815. That's 800-781-1815. Again, 800-781-1815.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
What does it feel like to file with TaxSlayer and get your guaranteed maximum refund? It feels like the last level of a video game, facing off against the final boss who stands between you and your refund.
All your refund is belong to me.
Using the power of TaxSlayer like a secret power-up he doesn't see coming.
Only the most tax competent can defeat me.
Throwing your laptop at his video game face and watching him crumble into a giant pile of shiny coin tax refunds.
Oh, not fair. You use TaxSlayer.
Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
Now, the special counsel did conclude that Joe Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. But no charges because his brain, she's a broke. She's a no good. Let me take a phone call. I know people are eager to talk about this, and I understand that. And I'm gonna get into the transcript and our corrupt news media and Joe Biden himself. What a performance last night. He must go as president of the United States. Now, let's see. Let's go to Justin calling from Wilmington, North Carolina. Justin, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, Chris. We all know that Joe Biden is not competent to stand trial. But so we can't hold him responsible, but there are a lot of people responsible for Joe Biden, and I think we need to hold his whole entire administration responsible. And also, I'm offended that I hear Joe Biden say, oh, this report says that I didn't break the law. I mean, he's sociopathic. And I want to know who else he shared the confidential, the top secret information with at the Penn Biden Center and in his garage. Did we ever get an answer? Did Hunter send any of those on his email, on his laptop to Ukraine? Did his Chinese people, you know, share them from his Penn, University of Penn office? So that's all I got. I appreciate it, Chris.
Well, that's plenty, Justin. Thank you very much. I will read to you from the report, from page one, when you actually get into the meat of the report. It is extremely damning, and it only gets worse from there, because he's got a note from his lawyer that he's not up to the task of standing trial.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Umpqua Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring live animals showcasing their natural survival techniques used for hunting, foraging, adapting, and surviving in the wild. This educational animal show features mammals, reptiles, and free-flying birds. Saturdays from 2 to 2:30 inside the Mill Building at Turtle Bay. Included with paid admission, free for members. Great for animal enthusiasts of all ages. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted Parejo from the farms of A.J. Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Hey, listeners, when it comes to romance, what's more romantic than two forks sharing one creamy, delicious piece of cheesecake? Drizzle that cheesecake with Nutella, the irresistible and beloved cocoa hazelnut spread, and you've got a shareable sweetheart of a dessert to finish off your Black Bear Diner meal. So grab your Valentine and make your way to Black Bear Diner for a cozy and shareable celebration. Order online at blackbeardiner.com or stop by daily at our Reading location.
Black Bear Diner.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact, B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
You're China, you're Russia, communist, you're Venezuela, they call themselves socialists, they're commies. Third world was the most prosperous country in Latin America, not anymore. And in Venezuela, you know, China doesn't have real elections, but Russia doesn't really either, but there's yet another story in the news today that Putin is looking to jail his political rival, his latest political rival. Interestingly, so is the Democrat Party here in the United States of America. Nicolas Maduro's Venezuela, looking to keep his opposition off the ballot, just like the left here in the United States of America. Brazil, they've taken the passport from Bolsonaro, saying he can't run again. because they're emulating the Democrat Party here in the United States of America. You Democrats out there really need to wake up to what has happened to your political party. This is not an American political party. It's barely a Western political party. It is an authoritarian political party, and they're not on our side. They're not on the side of the United States. Senegal keeping the opposition off of the ballot, and the Democrat Party here in the United States trying hard to keep the opposition off of the ballot because, you know, that's what banana republics do, and the left is here, make no mistake. Now, there is a, you know, the great fun people at the Babylon Bee, they've got good stuff today that is just great. Because they're funny, unlike so many others. And I want to share that with you coming up. But right now, let me get to the transcript of the report. Because the executive summary was released first, and that's what we first got our hands on yesterday afternoon. It begins, the executive summary, after you get past all the, you know, section this and section that opening stuff. We conclude that no criminal charges are warranted in this matter. And that's the first sentence, right? And that is enough for NBC Fake News and the Washington Post and the New York Times to just run with that and say, see, not like Trump. And this is about two systems of justice in a corrupt country with a corrupt attorney general. Merrick Garland is his corrupt name, and his corrupt Department of Injustice. The Justice Department isn't. We conclude that no criminal charges are warranted in this matter. And they like to just stay there. We would reach the same conclusion even if Department of Justice policy did not foreclose criminal charges against a sitting president. All right, so that's the first paragraph. Second paragraph. Our investigation uncovered evidence that President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency. He can't remember when that was. When he was a private citizen. All right, that's sentence one, paragraph two. He willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. That's where you get charged with crimes if you're a Republican, if you're President Trump, if you're, you know, if you're Peter Navarro, who didn't disclose classified information, and he was captured at Reagan Airport and put in leg restraints and handcuffs, even though he was having a casual conversation with the FBI hours earlier and said, "You want me to come down for an interview? I'll come down anytime." They hacked into his travel plans, ambushed him at the airport, put him in leg shackles like a third world country would do, because the left is the third world. We've got a partially third world country in the United States, and the third world element is growing with Venezuelan street gangs marauding through New York City, terrorizing people on stolen scooters and motorcycles and things. So our investigation uncovered evidence President Biden willfully retained, disclosed classified materials. That's the big deal right there. Those materials included marked classified documents about military and foreign policy in Afghanistan and notebooks containing Mr. Biden's handwritten entries about issues of national security and foreign policy implicating sensitive intelligence sources and methods. Sources and methods. And the news media is not using any of these words today, because they are banana-eating corrupt leftists and not legitimate journalists or truth seekers at all. I'm a truth seeker. Let the cards fall where they may. Implicating sensitive intelligence sources and methods. That's it right there. If you're Trump, if you're a Republican, that's the headline. You are nailed to the wall for this. You are crucified. You are done in politics. You're over, and you're going to prison. FBI agents, we have FBI agents, recovered these materials from the garage, offices, and basement den in Mr. Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home. What about over the Charlie Palmer Steakhouse down on Capitol Hill? What about in Chinatown? What about their multiple locations where he had classified documents? However, the report continues, for the reasons summarized below in this more than 300-page document, we conclude that the evidence does not establish Mr. Biden's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Prosecution of Mr. Biden is also unwarranted based on our consideration of the aggravating and mitigating factors set forth in the Department of Justice's Principles of Federal Prosecution. Now, that means that he does not have the mental capacity, they explain later in the document, to be put on trial. For those reasons, we decline the prosecution of Mr. Biden. Now, that's fascinating, and they do go on to explain, right? The, you know, the classified documents and other recovered, other materials recovered in this case span Mr. Biden's career in national public life. During that career, Mr. Biden, this is almost bizarre, has long seen himself as a historic figure, elected to the Senate at age 29. You got to be 30 to be in the Senate, and he was elected when he was underage, but he was sworn in after turning 30. He considered running for president as early as 1980. That's 44 years ago now, 44 years ago, 1980. And did so in 1988, 2008, and 2020. He believed his record during decades in the Senate made him worthy of the presidency, and he collected papers and artifacts related to significant issues and events in his career. He used those materials to write memoirs published in 2007 and 2017. Ghostwriters actually writing them. Pay no attention. He didn't sit at a keyboard and write anything. To document his legacy and to cite as evidence that he was a man of presidential timber. Timber! Yeah, now he's timber, right? So we got that going. And that's very key stuff. That's all really important stuff. And there's more, because when you get into the body of the report, and there is a lot of body to the report, it's filled with things that are just lethal, just deadly to any presidential aspirant, or certainly any president, sitting president. This is quite extraordinary. And the reason they're not prosecuting is not because it's not prosecutable. And you may remember also James Comey holding that press conference about Hillary Clinton, how we deem that Hillary Clinton did break the law and abuse classified materials. But somehow it didn't rise to the level of prosecution, because Comey was a Trump hater who sabotaged President-elect Trump, leaked to the press and his law professor buddy in New York sensitive materials. Comey should go on trial for all that, too. But the statute of limitations has probably expired already. There are amazing elements in this document. One of the passages is a viable defense for Mr. Biden is that he might not have retained the classified Afghanistan documents in his Virginia home at all. How many different homes did he have classified documents in? They could have been stored by mistake. He blamed his staff for everything. And without his knowledge, at his Delaware home since the time he was vice president, as were other classified documents recovered during our investigation, this would rebut charges that he willfully retained the documents in Virginia, but not the documents in Maryland, and there are more documents in D.C., too. Given Mr. Biden's limited precision and recall during his interview with his ghostwriter writing his book for him, and with our office when they interviewed him, jurors may hesitate to place too much evidentiary weight on a single 8-word utterance to his ghostwriter about finding classified documents. And it's in the, and the ghostwriter destroyed evidence too. And he should be, there should be an FBI raid of his home pre-dawn with CNN outside, just coincidentally. Amazing stuff. They say, we have also considered that at trial, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did during our interview of him, as a sympathetic well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Now, that's a key sentence in all of this. You see, there were already a meme going around. We should probably start making the yard signs. You know, Biden 2024, and on the bottom of the sign, it says, a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Right, that should be his campaign poster, right? Biden 2024, a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Based on our direct interactions with him and observations of him, he is someone for whom many jurors will want to identify reasonable doubt. It would be difficult to convince a jury that they should convict him, by then a former president well into his 80s, of a serious felony that requires a mental state of willfulness. Now, again, at the top of the document, they say that he did this willfully, but they believe that a jury would not find his conduct to be willful because of his intellectual and mental incapacity. But again, at the top of the document, our investigation uncovered evidence that President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials. Way down in the body of the document, they fear that he would just be viewed by a jury as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory, right? Based on our direct interaction with and observations of him, he is someone for whom many jurors would want to identify reasonable doubt. It would be difficult to convince a jury that they should convict him, right? And that's why he's not being charged. We conclude the evidence is not sufficient to convict, and we decline to recommend prosecution of Mr. Biden for his retention of the classified Afghanistan documents. That's pretty amazing. I, you know, let the jury decide that he's a sympathetic and elderly person. In his interview with our office, Mr. Biden's memory was worse. He did not remember when he was vice president, forgetting on the first day of the interview when his term ended. And they've got him asking a question here. If it was 2013, when did I stop being vice president? He asked. And forgetting on the second day of the interview, when his term began, him asking a question again. In 2009, am I still vice president? He became vice president on January 20th of 2009, and he didn't know that. He did not remember, even within several years, when his son Beau died. His memory appeared hazy when describing the Afghanistan debate that was once so important to him. Among other things, he mistakenly said he had a real difference of opinion with General Carl Eikenberry, when in fact Eikenberry was an ally whom Mr. Biden cited approvingly in his Thanksgiving memo to President Obama. He's got CRS, and his presidency is over. It's time for Joe to go. Dementia Joe has got to go.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE, 855-51-BIBLE.
At Consumer Cellular, you get the same exact coverage as the largest carriers, but for up to half the cost. Same thing, up to half the cost. Up to half the cost for the same thing. 50% the money for 100% the same thing. I hope I'm making myself clear. Consumer Cellular,
When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
Half the cost savings based on cost of consumer cellular single-line 5-gigabyte data plan with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single-line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plan offered by T-Mobile and Verizon May 2023.
Okay, everyone gather around. I have some exciting...
Running her shoe factory, Kendra talks the talk and walks the walk.
We're switching to green energy.
She needs a biotech consultant to erase her carbon footprint.
All operations will net zero emissions.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
If you've been injured in an accident and need cash now before your case settles, Oasis Financial can help. Last month, Oasis helped over 3,000 people. Why not you? If you have an attorney, call Oasis Financial today at 877-266-9107. It takes just 3 minutes to apply. And once you're approved, get $500 to $100,000 of your settlement in as little as 24 hours with no risk to you. That's right. Get $500 to $100,000 within 1 day. If you lose your case, you don't have to pay Oasis back, ever. So call Oasis today to see if you qualify at 877-266-9107. That's 877-266-9107.
Better days are today. Get the cash you need with Oasis.
Call Oasis today at 877-266-9107. Oasis is currently not providing legal funding in Arkansas, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, North Carolina, North Dakota, or West Virginia.
What does it feel like to file with TaxSlayer and get your guaranteed maximum refund?
It feels like the last level of a video game, facing off against the final boss who stands between you and your refund.
All your refund has belonged to me.
Using the power of TaxSlayer like a secret power-up he doesn't see coming.
Only the most tax competent can defeat me.
Throwing your laptop at his video game face and watching him crumble into a giant pile of shiny coin tax refunds.
Oh, not fair. You use TaxSlayer.
Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Our free 2024 Gold Investment Guide isn't just a collection of tips. It's a treasure map to possible wealth in a shifting economy. We've distilled expertise and insights into this comprehensive guide, tailored for both newcomers and veteran investors. Ride the wave of gold to unprecedented heights. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 for your free guide. Call 800-900-8000 now.
One of the best headlines last night is man ruled too senile to stand trial, still fined to run country. Now that's the Babylon Bee. And they do great stuff. They're genuinely funny at the Babylon Bee. They get it. All right, let's go to the telephones. I'm going to play Joe Biden for you after the top of the hour. And our media, our corrupt media filth coming up. Joe Biden must go. It's time for him to go. His presidency is over. This document cancels him out. You know, but the horror is President Kamala Harris, the great. That'd be the headline of the New York Times. Let's go to Laura calling from Wilmington, North Carolina. Laura, oh, Laura, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Thank goodness for you, Chris. So does this change the prosecutorial standard now for all criminals. They're being charged that they're not going to get a favorable, you know, nod from the jury that they're guilty. We're just going to dismiss the case.
And they know ahead of time, the jury would never go for this. We don't need a trial. We've already determined that no jury would convict them, so we're just not going to bring any charges.
Are they soothsayers now as well as prosecution attorneys?
We need more soothsayers, don't you think?
Well, how about the grandmas at January 6th that are too old? Are we going to dismiss? I mean, I think we should dismiss them anyway. But.
Sure, of course. No, the FBI raids them pre-dawn, rifles drawn, helmets, flashlights on their heads, loud music outside like they're Manuel Noriega. Laura, you're probably aware we have two different systems of justice in the United States, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And we can all see it plain as day.
Coming to an end soon.
Yeah, let's hope. Boy, there's a lot. Where do you hear what Joe Biden said yesterday? And then the media. We've been
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.